If I had to sit on a bench due to diabetes, it would frustrate me. My Bayer meter is very important.
Only Bayer's contour meter has programmable personal high-low settings.
It allows me to make sure that my diabetes is controlled as tightly as possible.
The contour meter, only from Bayer.
It was time for Barack Obama to enter the House chamber for the first time as president to report on the State of the Union. Our coverage of the president's speech begins at the White House, where CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer joins us live.
Job creation initiatives now top the Obama agenda, Nick. Reframing his goals, the president issued a new challenge.
People are out of work. They're hurting. They need our help. I want a jobs bill on my desk without delay.
So health care reform no longer is the front burner issue.
As temperatures cool, I want everyone to take another look at the plan we've proposed.
But he acknowledged a communications breakdown.
The longer it was debated, the more skeptical people became. I take my share of the blame for not explaining it more clearly to the American people.
Calling for bipartisanship, Mr. Obama issued a warning to both parties.
We face more than a deficit of dollars right now. We face a deficit of trust. Deep and corrosive doubts about how Washington works.
But he couldn't resist a poke at the GOP.
Just saying no to everything may be good short-term politics, but it's not leadership.
The White House now hopes that the public came away with this message.
We don't quit. I don't quit. Let's seize this moment to start anew.
But this morning, there is scant evidence of any new bipartisanship.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. President Obama asked Republicans to stop saying no to everything and start working with Democrats to govern, but they reject pretty much everything he wants to do and chose Virginia's newly elected Republican Governor Bob McDonnell to make clear why.
Today, the federal government is simply trying to do too much.
The choice of McDonnell was a reminder Republicans think they are on the political upswing right now and have no need to compromise.
Now, the president not only took lawmakers to task, there was one moment in Mr. Obama's speech in which he chided the Supreme Court for its ruling on corporations and campaign finance.
With all due deference to separation of powers, last week the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests.
Now, Justice Samuel Alito reacted by shaking his head and appeared to mouth the words, "not true." CBS News took the measure of a sampling of voters' views. Correspondent Anthony Mason says Mr. Obama appeared to score with his call for renewed action to get Americans off the unemployment lines.
When you start asking the question, do you think the president has a clear plan for creating jobs? Before the speech, only about 40% said he did. Afterwards, that jumped to 59%. So the president clearly gained ground there.
I'm Jim Crisula, North Carolina. This man was glad to hear the president talk about
jobs and also the financial situation in the United States.
The president's speech left this man disappointed.
The one thing that I felt he should have had a little more to say about was the immigration thing.
President Obama was the first Democrat to carry this state since 1976. Jim Crisula, CBS News, High Point, North Carolina.
The foreign policy was definitely out of the spotlight in last night's speech. The president did not discuss the failure to close the prison at Guantanamo Bay, nor one of the thorniest problems he faces.
I'm Robert Berger in Jerusalem. For Israelis and Palestinians, it's not what President Obama said, but what he didn't say. People are taking note that Mr. Obama did not even mention the Mideast conflict. That's being interpreted as the U.S. taking a step back from the peace process after a year of failed efforts to resume negotiations.
The speech has been made, and now comes the business of selling the...
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
I'm... Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
I know that sludge for brains like Bill Press,
you are a Nazi and a Stalinist.
We have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When you're responsible for reading the news to a city of millions, you need a gentle touch.
As for your greasy mouth self, that might help if you stopped eating all them fries you eat, making you look 6 months pregnant.
One of the top most listened to radio shows.
That voice of yours could be an attraction at a circus.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
We are Americans. We don't quit. We don't give up. And we're going to get health care done this year. So said President Obama last night to the nation and to the Congress in his State of the Union. Great speech. Did the job I think he had to do. Good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is Thursday, the morning after, January 28th. Great to see you today, and thank you for joining us. I know you watched the speech, you want to talk about it today. Well, we'll give you the opportunity here on the Bill Press Show, where we're just down the street, after all, from the United States Capitol building. I mean, when the president heading up here last night, the helicopters hovering around the Capitol and hovering around the studio and hovering around the press household just a block or so away. We were right in the heart of the activity last night, and we are this morning as well. Your calls welcome at 866-55-PRESS. Particularly asking you liberals, you members of the Obama base, you progressives who might have been a little disappointed in the fire we've seen in Obama so far, fighting for the things that we believe in. Did he bring you back last night? Did he do the job? 866-55-77-377. And on the website, our free podcast for today is with our interview with Maureen Hackett yesterday. Remember, she's running from, if you heard the interview, from running for Congress as a Democratic candidate in Minneapolis 3rd, Minnesota's, I'm sorry, 3rd Congressional District. And for you podcast subscribers, this week's emails, unedited emails, the emails we cannot read on the air because they're so obscene, most of them, they're up for our podcast subscribers, all of it at BillPressShow.com. And the team is here, Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning, looking a little blurry-eyed, red-eyed this morning after staying up late last night, because you wanted to watch all the punditry. And
yes, all 27 people on CNN. That's what I stayed up for.
Ridiculous. It was ridiculous that they put all those people up there, on the set.
I mean, let me tell you something. I heard Obama say, "And God bless the United States of America," click, and then I'm going to bed. Oh. I cannot
take
all that.
Whoa. You didn't stay up for the Republican response?
I did not. I'm sorry. I did not.
Wow. I didn't either. Although I was interested in seeing what I heard President Obama say what the State of the Union was. I was interested in hearing Governor McDonnell say what the State of the Confederacy was.
Jesus.
The South shall rise again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. And, speaking of which, whatever McDonald said, he couldn't have said anything dumber than what Chris Matthews said last night on, this is why they shouldn't allow Chris on whenever there's any big event. This is Chris Matthews now. What is the takeaway truth about the State of the Union in the mind of Chris Matthews?
You know, I was trying to think about who he was tonight, and it's interesting. He is post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour. You know, he's gone a long way to become a leader of this country and passed so much history in just a year or two. I mean, it's something we don't even think about.
Isn't that amazing? The last time I watched Tiger Woods play golf, I forgot he was black, too. Yeah, you know?
You know, that says to me is
that
like,
is an outrageous thing to say. Oh, yeah. I watched him for 70 minutes, and I heard everything he said, and I forgot he was black.
That says he's constantly thinking about how black he is.
Exactly.
And then he goes, oops, I forgot.
And
for
this is Chris Matthews, who did the special on racism, right, in America, race in America, mm-hmm. for MSNBC mm-hmm. a week or so ago. Unbelievable. I mean, Chris Matthews, come on. You owe the world not only Barack Obama an apology for that dumbass remark last night. We got a lot coming up. Chris Kofinas is going to be joining us any minute now, Democratic strategist in studio, and then we'll be going down to the White House, bouncing down to talk to Jake Tapper, our White House chief correspondent, and talking with you, taking your calls about the State of the Union. But first,
this is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news on this Thursday. Madonna and Alex Rodriguez, they haven't been together in over a year, but the pair reportedly spent a recent weekend together at A-Rod's Westchester County, New York home.
Uh-oh.
Yes, Us Weekly reporting this, but Madonna's rep, of course, denying it. No word from her current boyfriend, 23-year-old Jesus Luz. And, you know, A-Rod is single. He recently split with actress Kate Hudson.
But she's got the current boyfriend and and she's hanging out with A-Rod?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So we don't know what's going on. Hey, what celebrity...
Well, at least she's not hanging out with John Edwards that we know of. Or Tiger.
What celebrities do we trust most? Forbes magazine is out with a list based on likability, relatability, and credibility are all factors they name. James Earl Jones, number one, is the most trusted celebrity. He's followed closely by Tom Hanks, Michael J. Fox, Mike Rowe from the Discovery Channel, and Morgan Freeman.
Oh, I was going to say, Morgan Freeman would have been on that list maybe until about a year ago, but he's still there.
He's still there.
James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader, is the most trusted man.
And
isn't he the voice of CBS News now?
Oh,
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Freeman. James Earl Jones was the Bell.
Hey, look who walked in. Chris Kofinas.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
And we're getting a sneak.
What are you people doing here? Get out of my room.
We're getting a sneak preview of some Super Bowl ads, and one theme involves fewer clothes. A CareerBuilder.com ad features a casual Friday with an office full of people in their underwear. The tagline, expose yourself to something better.
Oh, that's surprising.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that one coming.
This is like the the subway at, you know, New Year's when they all take their pants off on the subway in New York.
There's also an ad for Dockers, which sells pants, of course. You'll see a guy wearing no pants and singing about it in the ad. Now, meanwhile, a lot of people wondering, Budweiser not putting the Clydesdales in their commercials this year. Even
this is
have,
how bad this recession is.
They have they had to retire the horses?
They have 5 minutes worth of advertising in the Super Bowl. They did film one with the horses, but apparently they're not going to be used.
I saw those Budweiser Clydesdales a couple years ago. It's funny. They actually smell like beer. It's amazing. That's how they become Budweiser Clydesdales.
It's like college.
You know what these ads, you know what it is? Streaking is back. It's like
high school all over again.
I know, exactly.
A guy with no pants and singing gets a commercial in the Super Bowl. If I do it, it's called a felony. Well,
if you do it, it's called Saturday night at your house.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called obscene. Chris Kofinas, it's good to see you, my friend. How you doing?
Good to see you, sir.
All right, so the president had a tough job last night. He had to kind of, you know, rally the American people, re-inspire the base, try to talk the Congress into getting to work on some issues. How'd he do?
He did pretty good. He did pretty good. I think he checked a lot of the boxes. And you know, the one I think kind of concerned was, you know, long.
Yeah.
I always, you know, I'm just, it's my own personal, I don't like long speeches.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I don't, you know what? I don't either. Like long movies. I can't even take a long movie. I really didn't, I wasn't bored at all. I didn't get to the point where I said, "Oh, get it over with."
I think he clearly did the one critical thing, which was to hammer in the economy again and again and again.
The focus was right from the beginning.
Yep. I think he called out both sides for the partisanship, obviously more so the Republicans.
Rightfully so.
You know, but I think as someone put it last night, you know, the critical thing now is the next day and the next day and the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speeches, even the one as significant as State of the Union, help set up a frame, if you will, for the rest of the year, or help define your previous year. But now it's going to be the hard, brutal process of politicking and legislating, and we've seen that is not easy given the current state of political affairs on Congress.
I thought he was really on his game, and he clearly was in command of that room and that Congress when he even could even like play with the Republicans. This was one of my favorite parts when he was taunting. Well, no, he wasn't taunting them. He was just reminding them about the tax cuts.
Right.
Which Republicans, of course, say they're the only ones that cut taxes, right? We never do. And he was reminding them about all the middle-class people that got tax cuts this year, and the Republicans sat on their hands. Here's the reminding of the president with the list.
We cut taxes. We cut taxes for 95% of working families. We cut taxes for small businesses. We cut taxes for first-time home buyers.
I thought this was good
stuff. We cut taxes for parents trying to care for their children. We cut taxes for 8 million Americans paying for college.
And now, so now the camera pans, and you see all the Republicans sitting on their hands, right, refusing to applaud. I mean, dumbasses. And Obama lets it go, right? And then, of course,
I thought I'd get some applause on that one.
Yeah, he listen. He love. He
that was pretty good.
He can give a good speech. There's no question about it.
Yeah,
and I think it is one of the strongest suits of this president. The challenge now, and this is the question I have, and this is the concern I have, is what changes, right? You've had a tough year in terms of getting, you know, the big legislation in terms of health care through. You know, getting, for example, now a question of another stimulus through. And, you know, the Republicans are going to come out, as they did yesterday, they're going to say, well, you know, we're interested in bipartisanship. We're interested in working with the president. That lasts about, you know, 20 minutes after the speech.
If that long.
Right. And then they're over at Morton Steakhouse planning to take the president down.
How are they doing health care?
Well, that's the one area where I think you're going to see some concerns. Because, I mean, the comments that people have been saying that I've been reading about, that healthcare was, I think, 20 or 25 minutes in before he mentioned it. Listen, healthcare, I think, and this is where it was, you were damned if you did and you damned if you didn't. If he had come out and laid down the hard line, it would have been the story of the speech, and then the jobs and the economy part would have been watered down, or would have been the second headline or the third, and that would have not been the key goal. The key goal here, obviously, was to explain to the American people, or to make it very clear to the American people, that this president gets it, that he understands the economy and jobs are the priority, that he is focused on it, that they've done a significant number of things to fix it, and they're going to continue to do a significant number of things to fix it. But in terms of healthcare, this really now becomes the key, you know, the key challenge outside of the economy. And we understand that. What do you do next with it?
Right. You know, I thought first of all, there were no specifics on his part. He says, let's get the job done. Right. He didn't say, I want this in it, I want this in it, I want this in it. And the fact that he started with jobs in the economy, I thought was absolutely correct. And he wove health care in as part of the economic recovery, which I think is a point he used to make and then he kind of got away from. That the reason we're doing, one of the biggest reasons we're doing this is because it's costing. The costs are breaking the backs of families and small businesses and big corporations, and we can't let it not do something.
Right? Yeah, I think that's right. You know, I think the other key challenge here is going forward. In this, if you put in the context of the post Massachusetts election, and what, at least in my opinion, the post Massachusetts election meant. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It was not anti-Obama. It was not anti-Democrat. It was not pro-Republican. I would not even say it was anti-incumbent per se. It was anti-politician. And Coakley, you know, ran as a politician. And Brown ran as this, you know, populist outsider, which I find hilarious.
I know. The guy next door driving a pickup truck.
Right. But, you know, the first Republican populist I've ever seen. But nonetheless, put that aside. But, you know, if you look at it in that context, and I think what that message was is we want things to get done. And this is where I think that the challenge for Democrats over the next 6-7 months, and it really is just a 6-7 month period before voters' opinions start cementing, right? They've got to realize, okay, let's work with the Republicans to a point, but if they're not going to work with us, then we've got to, as best we can, push stuff through.
Did the president, we're talking with Chris Kofinas here in studio. I want to take your calls, 866-55-PRESS on the State of the Union. Your take, and as a liberal, as a progressive, as a Democrat, did the president, get your support back? Or you may be wavering a little bit and you're feeling a little better this morning. Chris, before we take a break, did the president do the right thing in calling out the Supreme Court on that Supreme Court decision?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, I can't remember. Now, this may have been done before. I can't remember.
No. I loved it. I thought right in your face, man. They were sitting right in front of them.
What I didn't find funny was Alito's response.
Yeah, Alito said, he's like the Joe Wilson of
this
year.
You know, I was waiting for him to storm, stage or something.
What a putt.
I mean, it was a pretty significant moment. And listen, I think from the president's perspective and a lot of progressive perspective, the consequences of this decision are horrendous.
If conservatives were true to what they really believe, they would not want foreign corporations putting their money into American political campaigns, and that's what this decision allows.
Right.
It's outrageous. So we better Peter signaling us here. Right. Call's coming in, and we'll get to you when we come back here. Chris Kofinas, Democratic strategist in studio. State of the Union, what's your take? 866-55-PRESS.
The Bill Press Show continues.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
You know.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. With monthly payments you can afford, credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-5439. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-400-5439. That's 1-800-400-5439. 1-800-400-5439.
Geico brings you inspirational moments. Saving money requires endurance. Got a motorcycle and needed insurance. Then a Geico commercial that I thought was funny told me to call and start saving money. Geico covered my camper and trailer with ease, also my boat and PWCs. So fellow friends and power sports owners no longer feel like uninsured loners. Give Geico a call. It truly behooves you. Insurance for your car and the other stuff that moves you. Serious passion. Serious savings. Geico Power Sports.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes.
Yes.
Tires.
Yep.
Struts.
Of course.
Oil changes.
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod.
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. Plus, come in now through February 7th and get a Valvoline oil change for only $19.99 with no hidden fees. That's right, just $19.99. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Life well spent.
Look, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but doing my taxes just scares me. I just don't get it. Too many forms. Ifs, buts, and when this, then that form. And I really needed my tax refund fast. So I did my taxes at eFile.com. No math, no tax forms to choose from. And best of all, my 1040 Easy return was free at eFile.com. Huh, now they call me the 1040 Easy Girl. Ouch.
Visit eFile.com now. Less taxing, more yours. Taxes made simple at eFile.com.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow, they're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
To pass a real limit on global warming pollution, we only need the will to get it done. Scientists tell us we must act now. Senator Bennett, oppose a George Bush-style energy bill. Fight for a real limit on global warming pollution. Fight for a better future for our children and grandchildren. Sponsored by Environmental Defense Action Fund.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I'd like to begin monthly meetings with both Democratic and Republican leadership. I know you can't wait.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Yeah, Republicans didn't exactly jump up and down when he said that here 26 minutes after the hour.
They're penciling it in their calendar right now.
It is the Bill Press Show, and Chris Kofinas is in studio with us. By the way, a little breaking news here during the break. Ford Motor Company reporting $2.7 billion in profits for 2009, the first annual profit since 2005. Some good economic news, and they're the only company that did not get a federal bailout.
The irony.
The irony of it is right. Here's Dan from Chantilly. Hello, Dan.
Hey,
Chantilly,
John,
Virginia. Good.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, I love Obama. He loves the tightrope. He loves, you know, he loves that environment where everything is. This is the biggest speech of his political career. He loves that. But we're losing ground as a park. I mean,
how so?
To me, well, when you wait a year to hit the Republicans as an obstructionist, and then you let stuff get baked into people's minds about healthcare, like Massachusetts. Massachusetts happens, and we are 2 weeks later, and we have, Massachusetts was about the Cadillac tax. It's a blue union state saying you went too far, at least claim credit for bipartisanship. You didn't claim credit for the bipartisanship. When in history has a president who won by 9 million votes, by the way, adopts the other guy's health care plans? I mean, he did it a lot last night. He even brought even more of their ideas.
All right, Dan, let me get the Chris's response. So do you think Obama's buying too much into the Republican criticism on health care?
I mean, here's the... Listen, my personal preference would be in the public option. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
I don't even say it because of ideological reasons. I just say it, as I've actually said on the show, I believe it because of the market reasons.
Yeah.
I believe it because it's the only entity that I believe could actually force the insurance companies to compete. The challenge, I think, the president is, what do you do when you don't have the votes to get it done? And unfortunately, you're going to have to move more to the center or the right, depending on how you look at it, to get some more votes. It's not an easy political
game. You get
game.
What you can now, and then you have to come back and do the rest.
Unfortunately.
All right. Jake Tapper. Chris, going to be joining us, Jake Tapper from the White House, in the next segment here. Your calls, we'll take them too.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Hey, friends, Valentine's Day coming up soon, and I'm happy to tell you about this exclusive radio offer for my listeners from ProFlowers. Get this, one dozen Sweet Expressions roses for only $29.99. Double the roses for just $10 more. Both offers include a free glass vase and free chocolates. Good way to pamper her. If you haven't tried ProFlowers yet, what are you waiting for? ProFlowers roses are guaranteed to stay fresh for 7 days. You can't lose. Trust me, I've sent ProFlowers many times. They're always a big hit. So order today and pick your delivery date with Valentine's delivery guaranteed. But this deal's only available till Friday. So here's what I want you to do to access your exclusive radio deal on these roses. Call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. And mention press, or even better, go to proflowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter my password, press. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone, type in press. But don't forget, this offer expires on Friday.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
Live from Progressive.
Next on the line is Jake.
Hey, Flo. Years ago, I just went with my dad's auto insurance company. Could I be paying too much?
Maybe. But when we compare Progressive direct rates to other top companies, you could save hundreds.
Hundreds!
Hundreds!
Hundreds! Is there an echo in here?
Compare and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Hundreds of dollars a month. You heard me. Hundreds of dollars a month. At TopDot, we provide a low-stress, customized approach so you can get the right mortgage to suit your individual needs. And right now, you can get your rate absolutely free. Just call 1-800-500-6244. These historically low fixed rates may only be available for a limited time. For free information, 1-800-500-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
Now, anywhere cough and cold strikes, Pure Robitussin Relief is ready to go anywhere you go. Introducing new Robitussin to go. The cough and cold symptom relief you want in a neat little single dose spoon that goes anywhere. New Robitussin to go. The medicine has already been dissolved, ready for your body to take in. Anytime, anywhere. New Robitussin to go. Pure Robitussin relief to go.
Use as directed. Medicine works over time.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Denver highways will be wet and slushy in spots following light snowfall in the overnight, but better conditions than we thought we'd get. Foggy, though, out on I-70 near C-470. New crash, two-car accident eastbound Hamden east of University. Also normal jams coming into Denver southbound I-25 there from 38th past Spear. Forecast, partial afternoon clearing but cloudy and cold. High of 34 degrees. Tomorrow mostly sunny and dry, high of 42. Right now, 29 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Come into Qdoba Mexican Grill today and try the new Craft 2 menu. Mix and match two smaller portion Qdoba dishes like the Naked Queso Burrito and Grilled Chicken Quesadilla for just $5.99. Qdoba Mexican Grill, handmade for real.
Listen to AM 760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at am760.net.
Bill Press Show.
What do you say? 33 minutes after the hour of the Bill Press Show here on the morning after Thursday, January 28. We are coming to you live coast to coast from our little perch here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., right down the street from where the president gave the State of the Union address last night. In studio with us, Democratic strategist Chris Kofinas. Chris, you know, we have a lot of choice of stations for channels to watch the to watch something like this, a national event.
That's true.
My choice was ABC News, I want you to know, the new team there led by Diane Sawyer with Jake Tapper, George Stephanopoulos, I thought did a great job. And Jake, good of you to get up early this morning and join us. You've probably been actually done about five interviews already this morning. Good morning.
I was on Good Morning America, so this isn't early. I don't know what you're talking about. I've been up for like 6 hours.
Hey, I can beat you. I was on Fox and Friends at 5:15.
I was asleep.
you were talking to Steve Doocy at 5:15?
Yeah, Allison, actually, but isn't that pretty pathetic?
I would actually describe it as painful, but that's beside.
So, Jake, the president had a tough mission last night, to reset the agenda for the country and especially for the Democratic Party. Did he accomplish that mission?
Well, it's a little early to say whether or not he accomplished it. It was certainly a tall order. I mean, basically, he said that jobs were the number one priority, getting the jobs bill to his desk. And he did mention the bill that has been consuming so much time and political capital, the health care reform bill, but that he did not provide any clear direction as to how it should be resolved, the direction that the legislators should travel in. He had a tough mission. He had to, you know, when you give one of these State of the Union addresses, you have to rally your base while also appealing to the center. You have to talk about he had to reclaim the mantle of change, mm-hmm. a mantle that swept him into office and yet has been giving him some trouble as of late, as with the elections in Virginia, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. I think it was a good speech. At 1 hour, 10 minutes, it was the longest speech he has ever given as a national political figure. I guess we'll see what the response is.
Do you, I thought maybe the strongest part of his speech was there are two. One, when he challenged the Supreme Court. I want to ask you about that in just a minute. But when he turned to the Democrats and said, hey, you guys, you got 60 votes or 59, you got these great margins, bigger than you've ever had for a long time. You ought to use them to get something done. He turned to Republicans and, you have to do more than just vote against everything.
Yeah, I mean, it was a call for definitely for the legislative body to rise to the occasion. And you're right. He chastised both Democrats and Republicans, saying that, you know, Democrats, we control everything. This is a time for leadership, not to head for the hills, as he put it. And to Republicans, now you have this 41st vote in the Senate. Senator-elect Scott Brown is coming to town in his truck. That means you have an obligation not just to block, but to legislate. You could tell, despite all his talk of bipartisanship, in his ad libs, you could tell that he was irritated with the Republican Party when they did not applaud or stand up for for the tax cuts he listed. When they laughed when he said the spending freeze was not going to take place until next year, and he said that's how the budgeting is done. There's clearly an edge in his voice for that one.
You could tell, Chris. You want to?
Hey, Jake. These upcoming trips the president's taking, Florida, New Hampshire, what's the game plan you're hearing in terms of what the focus of these is? I mean, obviously it's economy, but you know, why are they going to these specific places right now?
Well, I think that they want people to see the president explaining directly to them how what they're doing, what he's doing, what he's trying to do affects their lives. And I think that when you spend too much time in Washington, it's not an outsider image if you're constantly giving speeches to the nation from the diplomatic reception room, even if he goes to a think tank or something, it looks like Washington. It looks like the president. This is a change year. He's right in the sense that since 2006. The American people have been voting for change that's worked for Democrats. It's now starting to work for Republicans who are out of power. And I think they want, him to be seen as among the American people. And, B, I think the president also enjoys it more, is that the kinds of people who tend to turn out for town hall events or rallies in Tampa, Florida today or Nashua, New Hampshire, next Tuesday, are his supporters, and I think it does energize him to a degree.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame him for wanting to get out of this.
No, I don't blame him. I think it's a smart strategy.
Jake Tapper, our guest here, Chief White House Correspondent for ABC News. Jake, let's go to the Supreme Court. I was stunned, man. I got to tell you, I really sat up and took notice when the president called out the members of the Supreme Court for last week's decision with the nine of them sitting right in front of him, and right in the middle was Justice Kennedy, who wrote the majority decision, sitting alongside of the Chief Justice. Have you ever seen anything like that before, and what's the take?
I mean, I've never seen either a president chastising the Supreme Court at a State of the Union address with them sitting right in front of him. I've never seen that, and then I've never seen anything like, the Supreme Court justices are supposed to, like members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, sit there motionless and not applaud or respond one way or the other. And Justice Alito, mouthing the words, that's not true, when President Obama described the Supreme Court case. I'm not exactly sure what Justice Alito was referring to, and perhaps the assertion that they they destroyed a century of election law, or however the president phrased it, which I'm not sure stands up to scrutiny. But that said, I'm not sure exactly what he was addressing. But These are partisan times. The country is more polarized than ever before. If you look at the president's approval ratings and disapproval ratings, according to Gallup, there is a bigger gap between the approval level, the job approval that Democrats assign President Obama, mm-hmm. and the job approval that Republicans do. It's something like a 62-point gap, which is the biggest it's ever been. And since they've been recording this, before Reagan, it was never more than 40 points, and then after Reagan, it's always been more than 50, but never as high as it is with President Obama. And if you're Justice Alito, I'm sure he knows that as a senator, Obama voted to filibuster his appointment to the Supreme Court. So, this is, it's a partisan time, and I think in both instances, what Obama said and what Alito, how Alito responded, it's an indication of how strong feelings are on both sides.
Chris?
In terms of, you were mentioning about polls, people in this, my side of the business, we always say, oh, we don't care about polls. We don't look at the polls. The polls don't matter. I'm curious because, especially you're there every day. You're with them every day. How much do they really, how much a concern do they have about the polls? Is it real that they don't have any concern about the polls? It's kind of like normal.
Bush said the same thing.
Well, the funny thing about George Bush, actually, I think that was kind of true. I think he didn't, because when he was when he was trending down to 30, clearly you don't care about the polls.
Well, I think they care about the polls in the sense that polls indicate that they could lose control of the House. Possibly, mm-hmm. and that's a big consideration. I don't think that they're terribly worried about his personal poll. His job approval standing right now in terms of his reelection, because these things can be turned around, and I think that they recognize that often these things are just directly tied to how the economy is performing. But in general, they care. I think it's true that the president didn't take on health care reform because he thought it would be a big political winner. It is always a struggle. But generally speaking, you'd have to be a fool not to care at all about public support, because the more popular you are, the more of your agenda you can get through.
Now, Jake, I want to ask you, you mentioned earlier that the president, part of his mission, of course, was to re-energize the base, and I consider myself part of the base, right?
I consider you part of the base.
Okay.
Yes, we do consider you part of the base.
About as left as you can get, are you? So I'm listening to the speech last night, and I hear the president say we're going to have a spending freeze, we're going to have more offshore drilling, we're going to build more nuclear power plants, right? And I'm thinking, and we're going to start to work on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We're not going to end it, but we're going to work toward repealing it. And I'm asking myself, what's in this speech for me? What didn't you see that was in there that people on the left, could take away from it? Anything?
Well, obviously, I would think that the jobs bill would be a big part of that. The fact that he is asking Congress to continue with health care. There was a big push for education, increase in the education budget by 6%, and as you point out, a discussion of beginning to work with Congress this year to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But it was not a speech just for the base. It was a speech for we interviewed a Clinton speechwriter for World News yesterday, and he said that the point is you have to bridge the battleground and the common ground, and you just mentioned a bunch of things on common ground in terms of earmark reform and mm-hmm. and lobbying reform. But at the same time, there was a lot of effort to try to find common ground. I agree.
Yeah. The cutting of capital gains, the pay-go, the tax credits, there was a lot of stuff in there that George Bush could have said. There was a lot of stuff in there that conservatives, you would think, would like.
Yeah, but at the same time, he was clearly defending his agenda in general, and defending, trying to reform healthcare, and suggesting that education, the budget for education, should be increased significantly. 6% at a time like this is a big increase. I agree. It wasn't, it wasn't the New Deal that he laid out yesterday, but at the same time, I would say it was a defense of liberalism, and yes, there were definitely some there was definitely outreach to the middle and even to Republicans for on energy issues like offshore drilling and nuclear power, as you point out. But at the same time, these speeches are meant to to do both, to rally the base, and I guess what I'm saying is that you're saying the glass is half empty, Bill, and you know, there was some liberal water in that glass, definitely. Right,
I'll go back and take another look at it.
There's some sparkling water in that glass.
All right.
Right.
Hey, Jay, great job. Great job last night, and thanks so much. Good job this morning, too. Okay.
Anytime. Take it easy, Bill.
See you a little later. Thanks, Jake, so much. Okay. Jake Tapper, Chief White House Correspondent, does a good job down at the White House.
He's a great reporter.
He asked some of the best questions at the briefings. All right, how about you?
Yeah, that's very true. He's very tough in those briefings.
866-55. Press, what about you, fellow liberals, members of the base? Did President Obama rise to the occasion? Did he light your fires again? 866-55-PRESS.
This is the Bill Press Show. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Excuse me? Like to sample a Luden's throat drop?
Luden's reminds me of being a kid, running through the neighborhood pretending to be a superhero, saving the universe from evil. I'd come home with a scratchy throat and Mom would give me a Luden's.
That's such a nice story.
Wait, there's so much more.
Great.
For everyday throat irritation, Luden's Wild Cherry Drops. The great taste and soothing relief you never forget. Luden's. It still works wonders.
Wow, that dinner was delicious.
Yep, totally sucked. A lot.
And that 12-layer chocolate cake? I didn't even know that was possible.
12 layers of deliciously horrible chocolate. Really, really horrible.
You know, honey, we should come here again.
It'll still suck, but why not?
When you're quitting smoking, a great meal without a cigarette sucks. Nicorette makes it suck less, doubling your chances of success. Learn more at Nicorette.com. Use as directed. Individual results may vary. Support program increases chances.
Hey. Your dream of homeownership just became more attainable than ever. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know the Home Buyer Tax Credit has been extended and expanded. Current homeowners can receive a $6,500 tax credit. First-time buyers are still eligible to receive an $8,000 credit. This once-in-a-lifetime opportunity ends April 30th. Talk to a Realtor for qualification details or visit houselogic.com/homebuyertaxcredit. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today. Income qualification applies. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Okay, that's 1196. Whoa, what are you doing?
What? I'm giving you cash.
But you're pulling the little guy apart.
Oh, this? No, it's just the money I'm saving with Geico.
But he's the sack of money with the googly eyes. He has a face.
Yeah, but he's money. And now I'm spending it. Here, take a bill.
Oh, actually, that didn't seem to hurt him at all.
No, we do this all the time.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
With banks crumbling, retirement savings being depleted, and the economy in turmoil, there has never been a more important time to have gold on hand. The New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic gold coins, all uncirculated and more than 100 years old. For free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-300-5798. During the Great Depression, people kept precious metals and gold coins tucked away. No one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. Nowadays, most of us have never seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a secret hoard of gleaming U.S. gold coins was discovered, all uncirculated and minted between 1866 and 1933. The New York Mint will be releasing these coins to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Despite our hardships, our union is strong. We do not give up. We do not quit.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
I love that. I do.
I live for that.
I have my wife do that every time I come home.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
There it is.
Babies and children, Mr. Covinas.
The State of the Union. How good a job did he do? Sal, call him from Chicago. What do you say, Sal? Hey, good morning. We're here with Chris Kofinas. Hi, Sal.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good morning.
I think the speech was great. I think it definitely delivered. I think the target audience was definitely the independents. Like you mentioned, it definitely needed to energize the base. I think he took a play out of Reagan's playbook. I think making sure that the American public doesn't forget, because we have a short-term memory, that, hey, the previous administration's put us here.
You know, that's
what Reagan did with the Carter administration.
Yeah.
At the same time, let's move forward, and also went to the Republicans. And it was kind of like the parent to the two kids, let's play nice.
The American
public has given us the power to legislate, so stop getting in the way.
All right, Sal, great call. Appreciate the point. Chris, that is a good point that, you know, look, as left as I am, I'm the babe, right? I'm going to be with him no matter. I mean, not being all that excited, but I'm not going anywhere. But
right.
But he really had to get the independents back, too. How's he doing that?
This is, I think, one of the electoral realities that sometimes people on the progressive side and even myself, because you don't want to believe it, because you want to be able to believe that you can move people over with your progressive argument. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. We lost independents in Massachusetts 2-1. Let me put it bluntly. If we lose independents 2-1 in other battlegrounds, we're going to get slaughtered.
Right.
So in that sense, it was very smart going out there and directly messaging the concerns and priorities of independents.
Yeah, and he did a good job. He did a good job of that. John's in Dallas, Texas. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing today?
All right. Thanks for your call. What's your point on last night?
My point about last night is that he seems like he is trying once again, as in his campaign, to promise everybody everything. Now, I am a Republican. My core values push me to the Republican side, though I do listen to America Left and America Right.
Good for you.
Open mind.
I like that.
Just because I disagree with the core values on the left does not mean I can't listen to them and understand them. And besides, I get sick and tired of everybody screaming on the right.
Okay, so...
Now, he put a plan forward in for insurance, which I totally disagreed with. But the Republicans did not have a plan for a long time. And I'm not sure yet if they still really have a plan. They're just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah. I don't think they do. But your point is, again...
My point is that... Why, if we know that Barack Obama is to the left, and he only stood up for insurance, he made the point last night that you had a supermajority. We is what he said. Why couldn't you get it through?
All right, I'm going to take that question. So, Chris, that was his point to the Democrats. You got all these votes. Get something done. And to the Republicans, you got a lot of votes. Stop just voting no on everything. I thought that was just.
I mean, it was clearly a moment in the speech. Yeah, but this is the electoral realities, you know, this country has, and the bottom line is we have Democratic members who are from conservative states and do not necessarily.
But
you know,
let me ask you this: is it enough for Republicans to win this year by just being voting no on everything?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I'll tell you why, because I think it will reinforce this stereotype and this image that they are just politicians. But at the same time, it's a simultaneous equation, right? You know, and in the sense that, okay, that may be the Republicans on one side, and even if they're doing that, we still have to do something on the other side to gain, or at least to minimize some of these losses that may happen in some of these competitive seats.
And with that, we have we haven't gone 70 minutes, but we have run out the clock anyhow on our version of the State of the Union. Chris Kofinas, always great to see you. Thank you for coming in. By the way, we did announce that we were going to have Jane Dyer. Very excited about Jane Dyer, who's a candidate for Congress in South Carolina. At this point, she's going to be at the same time tomorrow. In our third hour together tomorrow, we'll be talking to Jane Dyer, great congressional candidate. A pilot for FedEx down from South Carolina.
I like that.
Also running for Congress. And I'll be back with a quick parting shot. Thanks, Chris.
Podcasts, Twitter feed, and Bill's White House Report exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Individual. Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-9526. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-600-9526. That's 1-800-600-9526. 1-800-600-9526.
How would you like to improve your memory in just 10 minutes? That's right. You can start improving your memory when you call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply of Neurostin. 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines are open now. Neurostin is a scientific breakthrough with clinically proven ingredients that can dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration, and help reverse years of memory loss. Call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply. If you want your brain back, if you want to remember telephone numbers, people's names, and where you put your keys and glasses, Neurostin's all-natural ingredients can help dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration. See for yourself. Try it risk-free now. Start improving your memory now. Call in the next 10 minutes to try all-natural Neurostin before you buy it. Supplies are limited, so get your free trial now at 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines will be open for the next 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-600-8199.
Please stay tuned for a free weight loss offer following this story.
I gained my weight after I had my first child, and within a year, I gained like 150 pounds. For 20 years, I tried everything, you know, from different diets, exercising. One time I seen a friend, and when I seen her, she was slim. So I said, how did you do that? You know, how did you get so skinny so fast? And she was like, right-size smoothies. So that's when I decided to try right-size smoothies. And when I first started, the first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time I hit a year, I lost 143 pounds. When I look in the mirror, I see a beautiful person now. I love the Right Size Smoothies. It's the best thing that happened to me.
If you would like to try Right Size Smoothies for free, call now for a free two-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4. On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Parting shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Thursday, January 28th, my parting shot for today, as we've been talking all morning, he had a tough job to do. Take charge, reset the agenda, get things moving again, re-energize his base, and rally the American people. As far as I'm concerned, mission accomplished. President Obama's first inaugural address was both powerful and uplifting, especially when he talked about the can-do spirit of the American people. Look, I don't agree with everything in the speech, but overall, I believe the president set the right tone, serious and inspirational. He kept the right focus on jobs and the economy. He put forth the right agenda, an array of steps to help small businesses and middle-class families. And he refused to walk away from health care reform. Now, if only Republicans and Democrats in Congress will get together and get something done for the American people. My parting shot for today, congressional candidate Jane Dyer from South Carolina will join us tomorrow. See you then.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Thought I'd get some applause on that one.
My husband's always had dark circles under his eyes. He blames his dad for that. But then his work stress and schedule made them even more noticeable. To add to the problem, he didn't want to use some fancy eye cream made for women. That's why I got him Hydralyze.
Hydralyze is a scientific breakthrough that isn't fancy, it's effective. Developed by a plastic surgeon, Hydralyze visibly erases dark circles and bags, whether they're due to heredity, aging, or fatigue. If the man in your life has dark under-eye circles or bags, do him a favor and call in the next 10 minutes for a free trial of Hydralyze. The number is 1-800-400-5797.
My husband didn't think he had any options. Now he has the solution.
Men and women who've tried clinically proven Hydralyze are amazed at the dramatic results. If you know someone suffering from dark under-eye circles and bags, call in the next 10 minutes for a risk-free trial of Hydralyze. That's a free trial at 1-800-400-5797. 1-800-400-5797.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. President Obama leaves here within the hour, heading to Florida, where he will road test one of his top State of the Union themes.
We can put Americans to work today, building the infrastructure of tomorrow.
Mr. Obama will announce $8 billion in funding for a national high-speed rail system. He and Vice President Biden will also lead a Tampa town hall meeting on job creation. There is reaction this morning to the president's renewed call to repeal the ban on gays serving openly in the military.
I think it's a new day, and I think that there definitely is light at the end of this tunnel.
John Caldera is a gay military veteran in San Francisco, but a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell is far from reality. It faces some congressional resistance and opposition from some of the Pentagon brass. I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. Now with more CBS News, here's Frank Settapani.
The Labor Department counted 450,000 new unemployment insurance claims last week, down 8,000 from the week before. Cost-cutting and some hot cars are helping Ford turn its fortunes around. The company says it made $2.7 billion. Last year. It's Ford's first full-year profit since 2005. Toyota is expanding its recall of cars and trucks with faulty accelerator pedals to include Europe and China. Auto analyst John McElroy says Toyota stands to lose $1 billion and its reputation for quality if it drags its feet.
Toyota claims it has a fix and that one of the things it's trying to do is rush this into production right now.
The company that made Toyota's gas pedal says it's already producing a redesigned version. The man charged with murdering a Kansas abortion doctor is expected to take the stand in his own defense when that trial resumes an hour from now.
Scott Roeder has admitted he killed Dr. George Tiller. His defense is it was justified to save lives. Judge Warren Wilbert is allowing this voluntary manslaughter argument, but with strict conditions. He says while Roeder can explain his opposition to abortion on the stand, this case won't become a referendum on the issue. Prosecutors want a first-degree murder conviction.
States around the country are beginning to pay more attention to head injuries in high school athletes. Live to CBS News correspondent Steve Cathan.
And it's because of all the recent focus on concussions in the pros.
Clearly, everybody looks up to the NFL. And for them to make these rules for their own players, it's got a great trickle-down effect.
Dr. Robert Cantu, neurologist at Boston University. Washington State now has what may be the toughest law for letting young athletes return to action after a concussion. Six other states are considering new measures, with doctors more involved in the final say. Frank?
A ruling may be months away, but testimony's over in the federal court case challenging California's ban on same-sex marriage. Attorney David Boies represented the plaintiffs.
There simply is no basis for prohibiting gays and lesbians from getting married.
A lawyer on the other side says California voters should have the right to decide what's best. S&P futures are up 3 points. This is CBS News.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes.
Yes.
Tires.
Yep.
Struts.
Of course.
Oil changes.
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod.
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. Plus, come in now through February 7th and get a Valvoline oil change for only $19.99 with no hidden fees. That's right, just $19.99. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Life well spent.
Prices after rebate, HD access and equipment required. Offers in 2A10. New customers only on approved credit. Credit card required to the conditions apply. $100 back via DirecTV Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank. Pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc.
Hey, sports fans, get the most out of your flat screen with DirecTV. Watch 8 different sports channels at the same time. Live on your TV. Last chance to get over 150 channels for just $29.99 a month for a full year. Plus, ask about a free HD DVR upgrade. Call 888-DIRECTV. Last chance to get 2009 pricing plus $100 back. Call now. 888-DIRECTV.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. The family of a Platteville man shot and killed by police yesterday is demanding answers. The incident started with a police chase early yesterday morning and ended in a mobile home park where an officer found the suspect's car. Weld County spokeswoman Margie Martinez.
The suspect, still in his vehicle, refused to acknowledge verbal commands of the officer advancing his vehicle towards the officer.
The officer put at least 11 bullets through the man's windshield. The dead man's girlfriend disputes police versions of the events. A bill to regulate medical marijuana in Colorado has passed its first test. The Senate Health and Human Services Committee voted to send the bill forward. Senator Nancy Spence voted for it.
And I suppose it just makes me really angry that there are people out there who are abusing the system and taking advantage of patients who so desperately need to have access to this ability to get some comfort in their lives.
The bill's sponsor says his bill will end a Wild West atmosphere, which has seen an explosion of medical pot dispensaries. In sports, it's now 8 in a row for the Denver Nuggets. They beat the Rockets last night in Houston. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where southbound I-25 really starting to load up as you're coming in from Thornton and Northland on that approach to 104th. But the slowest stretch of this morning's commute exists in the eastbound lanes of 270, starting right around I-25, taking you up towards Vasquez. Speeds are going to dip down into the 20-mile-an-hour range there. Outside the metro, we've got an accident. This one's eastbound I-70 near Silver Plume. Sounds like that one's off to the left side. Same deal for a single-vehicle accident. This is northbound I-25, just north of Highway 66. Watch out for people that were involved in the crash. They're out of their cars and walking around in the area. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a high in the upper 30s today. Currently fog rolling in and it is 24 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Start feeling better today. NextCare Urgent Care offers multiple walk-in locations for immediate caring and affordable health care, including conclusive H1N1 and seasonal flu testing. All major insurance accepted, including Medicare and Medicaid. Call 1-800-NEXTCARE or visit NextCare.com today.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
You're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Wow! 706 here on it's not snowy, but I guess there's snow out there. A gray, kind of milky morning. But it's Thursday, best day of the week. Best day of the week. Even though it's the day after the State of the Union where we have to, I guess there's the obligatory, we've got to talk about the State of the Union. I was up late last night, I was on KBDI, talking about the State of the Union. And in this first hour, we will talk about the State of the Union. And the speech last night. I mean, I just want to be clear. I'm somewhat loath to do it. Only because it's like, I don't know. These speeches, they're such engineered news events, right? They're like fake news events. Right? Like the Haiti earthquake, which is what my column is about tomorrow. That's a real news event. You know, these speeches set up on a given day, I think, scholars call them what? A spectacle, right? A setup media spectacle. But we will talk about it in this first hour. I've got some thoughts on what the speech did well and what the speech did not do well. I'm sure you have your thoughts, too. We'll get to that in a second. At 8, we'll check in with Congressman Ed Perlmutter about his response to the State of the Union. And I promise you this, the audience, unlike many shows that will remain nameless all over the radio, when we have politicians on, we do not have them on to kiss their ass. So when Ed Perlmutter comes on into the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, I'm not just going to allow him to spew Democratic talking points about how wonderful the speech was. Although there were good parts of the speech. I just want the audience to be clear. I want you all to be clear that when we talk about the State of the Union, it's not just going to be talking points spewing. If you want that, you got the rest of the radio dial to flip around. So we'll have Ed Perlmutter on at 8. Then at 8:30, we're going to be joined by two folks, including one from Earth Justice, who are involved in a fight over whether Denver and the Front Range is taking too much water from the West Slope. At 9, Denver Post columnist Susan Green joins us about her most recent column, or maybe it was, I guess maybe she's written one since then, but about how Denver is arresting people based on the fact that they have the same name as the real suspects in the cases they are pursuing. So basically, the wrong people are being detained and arrested. by Denver's police force. And then at 9:30, we will be joined by the man who ran the campaign in Oregon this week, the election in Oregon, to raise corporate taxes there and to raise taxes on people making over $250,000 a year. Oregon, a very big swing state. This was a huge ballot victory, very rare ballot victory, to do, frankly, the right thing. And so we're going to be joined by Kevin Looper, who ran that campaign out there. A huge victory this week. Very, very psyched about it. And, again, Oregon, a swing state that we may take...
Second coolest state in the nation, David.
I don't have a ranking, but it's definitely up there.
Definitely up there, yeah. Definitely Oregon's my number. Colorado's obviously my number one.
I don't really understand how you like Oregon and Alabama at the same time. I don't get it.
Well, I don't like the politics of Alabama, but I do like the Gulf Shores.
Fair enough.
Hey, did I ever tell you about the time I was arrested?
No.
And it was like a fluke in the computer system?
That's exactly what we're going
to
be talking about.
Yeah, man. It happened to me when I was in college. And dig this, Dave. I was so mad. Stacy happened to be out of town back here in Denver. I was in Durango, and it was a Sunday morning, and it was finals week, okay? Finals week of college. And I get a knock on my door. It's like, 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and I'll admit it was college. I'd been drinking the night before. And so this police officer comes to my, is at my door saying, I'm here to serve this warrant for these unpaid parking tickets. I'm like, I paid those parking tickets. He's like, well, we don't have record of it. He's like, you got 5 minutes to dig up the records of it, or else you're going with me. And, I'm like scrambling, trying to go through all my paperwork and stuff. Can't find it. He takes me to jail. I spent about 7-8 hours in jail on a Sunday when I should be studying for finals. I get bailed out. I go to the courthouse the next day. I'm like, listen, I just spent yesterday in jail over some paid parking tickets. Can you go through the records and stuff?
That's crazy, man. You were in jail?
And they went through and found that I had paid for the, but there was somehow that it didn't get from the computers around. And so, yeah, man, it was just stupid.
Well, apparently this is a big problem in Denver.
I wasn't a mistaken identity arrest, but still, this has got to happen a lot.
I'm sure it does. Susan Green's column was pretty scathing over the weekend, so we will get to that. At 9. Also, before we get into the State of the Union, I want to remind folks, this Saturday night at 7 p.m., I will be at the Denver Press Club, 1330 Glen Arm, for a discussion about the state of politics in Colorado, the state of journalism in Colorado. We're going to have some drinks, some beers, a few laughs. Troubles are over. That's a line from Lebowski, by the way. But I will be at the Denver Press Club on Saturday at 7 p.m. I hope some of you come out. Would love to meet some of you. Okay, State of the Union. Let's talk about the State of the Union. I was on KBDI last night, and here is my take. My take is that President Obama did a very good job of outlining the problems that our country faces. My take is at the same time also that it was one of the most cynical speeches I've ever heard delivered by a president of the United States, Republican or Democrat. And I say that because for a person who diagnosed the problems so well, and for a person who is as smart as President Obama is, it means that he knows that the prescriptions that he put out there to fix the problem are not serious. Are cynical, are political, they're not real substantive policy prescriptions. And I'm not surprised by that, right? I mean, I've come to not be surprised. I mean, I've stopped smoking the hopium. Not that I ever really did smoke the hopium. But I just think that when you actually go through what was being proposed and you get behind and beyond the rhetoric, and we know President Obama is a great speechmaker, can't take that away from him, but when you actually look at the details, which I know, people are going to call up and say, Sirota, you're being a downer or whatever, but hey, I look at the details, right? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being mesmerized by the speeches and the hopium. I just want to know, what is going to be tried to be done? I'm not even asking for what's going to be done. I just want to know what they're going to try to do. And this speech outlines a lot of what they're going to try to do. And what they're going to try to do is pretty weak, and in some cases, completely counterproductive. We've got a couple of clips here. They're in random order, so we're just going to play a few, and I'll give you my thoughts on them. So let's just fire up the first clip.
Like any cash-strapped family, we will work within a budget to invest in what we need and sacrifice what we don't. And if I have to enforce this discipline by veto, I will.
I'm glad we started with that, because that's a very good example. Our must-read of the day at am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page, is about this very issue. The must-read of the day is a piece from the Washington Independent about military analysts, longtime defense analysts, ripping Obama for exempting Pentagon spending from the spending declaration you just heard him offer up there. His, I'm going to get tough on spending, we're going to cut spending of non-defense discretionary spending. And our must-read of the day, I really hope you read it, am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page. The must-read of the day is about how even defense analysts, people who worked in the Pentagon, are appalled that the president would say he wants to cut the deficit, get the budget under control, and exempt the single largest discretionary expenditure in the government, which is the Pentagon. We went through the numbers. We also, if you scroll down on our page, you'll see a graph about that. So that's a good example of where the president identified a problem properly. Yes, the budget is a problem. Yes, we have a big deficit. But the fix for that is to exempt the biggest and most wasteful part of the entire budget from any spending cuts. As we mentioned yesterday, Politico reported last week that actually the White House is meeting with defense contractors to reassure them that the Pentagon budget not only will stay the same, but will continue increasing in the next many years. Unbelievable. All right, here's the next clip.
I know Wall Street isn't keen on this idea, but if these firms can afford to hand out big bonuses again, they can afford a modest fee to pay back the taxpayers who rescued them in their time of need.
All right, so this was a good piece. This was one policy. Remember, we're going beyond the rhetoric here. So this is he's talking about the bank tax. This is one policy I fully support. I think his rhetoric was right on. As I've said before, the tax is minuscule. If I have any criticism of it, it's that it's so small that it won't necessarily recover the money that we have lost. And in his speech, actually, just to add to this, I don't think we have the clip up, but in his speech, he said, we have recovered most of the money we spent on the banks. That's a straight-up lie. Okay, now, I want to be clear. I am completely for the tax, but when he went on to say, we have already recovered most of the money we spent on the banks, that's a straight-up factual lie. We have recovered a chunk of the money that Congress appropriated to the banks, but the Federal Reserve is giving out taxpayer-subsidized zero-interest loans. Bloomberg News, not exactly a liberal communist rag, estimates that we are still on the hook, taxpayers are, for up to $12 trillion. So that was a straight-up lie. But, again, the proposal to push this modest tax on banks, a solid policy proposal.
We cut taxes for 95% of working families. We cut taxes for small businesses. We cut taxes for first-time home buyers. We cut taxes for parents trying to care for their children. We cut taxes for 8 million Americans paying for college.
All right, so, you know, this is a good reminder, I think, that the stimulus bill, as an example, you know, the conservative right wing will say, oh, the stimulus bill just wasted all this money on spending. It's a good reminder that the stimulus actually was about half tax cuts. My problem with this, I don't have really a policy problem with it. My only problem with this is that I'm not comfortable with Democrats using their platform to try to get into a who can cut more taxes battle against the Republicans at a time of massive deficits. I just think that's the wrong way to go. I think Bill Clinton, who again, you know, I'm not a huge fan of, but Bill Clinton understood not to do that, right? Bill Clinton understood in his first budget, when they faced a deficit, we got to raise some taxes. Obama's trying not to raise any taxes, and that's why we get this ridiculous proposal to cut non-defense discretionary. But okay. He reminds the country that the stimulus bill, to the contrary of the right-wing media, the stimulus bill is actually half tax cuts. Now, we're going to get into more of what President Obama said on jobs, more of what he said on the economy. And I'll tell you something, I just want to preview this for you. I mean, there was a piece of this that nobody, that very few media pundits noticed, that really just blew my brain out. At one point, the president, after saying that he wants to keep jobs in the United States, at one point, he then endorses passing a new NAFTA expansion. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. We'll get into that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Good morning. Got a single car crash northbound I-25 near Highway 66. That's in the Longmont area, causing some big problems. It's in the left-hand lane. Stop and go southbound 25, I-70 to Spear. Also pretty heavy up in North Glen. Real slow stretches on eastbound 270. Stop and go from 76 down to Vasquez. Also got a crash at Sheridan and 6th Avenue up in the high country. Single car crash eastbound I-70 near Silver Plain. Plume. Forecast, light snow showers will taper off this morning and early afternoon. Could even see some sun late in the day. Highs in the low to mid-30s. Right now, 27 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
What? I've got a 1040, not so easy. It makes no sense to me. A W-2, 1099, so many forms, so little time. Federal, state, FICA, they take my money. Who the heck are they? The paperwork is such a mess. Will I owe the IRS? Somebody help me.
eFile.com is here to help you. Prepare and e-file your taxes now at eFile.com. Start with the free federal edition. Faster refunds at eFile.com.
Listen to some of the reasons why thousands of employees have reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance.
It makes me angry that most businesses play by the rules and use software legally. My company did not. I don't have any regrets about reporting software piracy. I would do it again.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
Save money with Bargain Watch at am760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at am760.net.
Once you try it, there's no doubt that you will become one of Zencor's thousands of satisfied customers.
Find out how to get your free supply of Zencor before it's too late. Call 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986. Size does matter. Don't miss out on your free supply. 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986.
The Home Ownership Accelerator is the best home loan ever. A first deed line of credit combined with a checking account. Now, normally checking accounts don't earn you any interest, but here you run all of your household money and expenses through this account, and when you have extra money in it, it automatically applies to your mortgage balance, and that drastically reduces the interest you pay. So, your principal is paid off faster without changing any spending habits. 866-259-8206. 866-259-8206.
Save money with Bargain Watch at am760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at am760.net.
Randy Rhodes.
If we're actually going to risk our lives to protect others, you know, on the ground while we're flying, we should get a stipend. You know, we should get paid.
Yeah.
We should be deputized as air marshals. And guess what we're getting instead? We're getting our blankets taken away from us, and I'm going to get to see your package when you walk through the airport.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
For free.
Weeknights at 7 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Now, this is the place that I was telling you about. It's real f***ed up.
We're talking about the State of the Union, the obligatory discussion of the State of the Union. We're already getting some of your instant messages. You can instant message am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Already getting a bunch of your instant messages, and not surprisingly, some of you are mad at me. Can't say that I'm surprised. Here's Bud. A speech without integrity is a terrible thing. We should be about policies, not personalities. This is a nice one. Stay on it. Stay on the repeal of Colorado tax breaks too. Economic freedom, which the founders of this country were for, was freedom from indebtedness. Serfs up. S-E-R-Fs up. I like that. That's pretty nice. If State of the Unions are fake news events, says Mark, then maybe Obama's cynicism in his speech is an appropriate response. That's a good point. Here's our favorite stalker, Duckster74. David, I caught you on TV last night as your favorite stalker and as a physician. It's hard for me to believe you're a physician. Quote, a couple comments. One, your physique looks like a cross between Steve Jobs and Skeletor. That's nice.
You've been caught on that Skeletor.
Maybe a little more protein in your diet. Well, I am a vegetarian. I always have to work to keep protein in my diet. Two, it's not too late to start a serious Rogaine regimen. There it is. The allegation that I'm going bald. I tell you something, I'm going gray. I'm going gray. But I started buzzing my own hair. That makes me look bald. I guess that's the
consequence. That was the email of the day yesterday.
I guess that's the consequence of me, you know, trying to cut back on my budget. That when you buzz cut, you know, when you do your own buzz cut, crew cut, you can look bald at the beginning. Oh, and this person's also an anti-Semite. Very nice. Talking about a massive Jewish ego. Very, very nice. So, of course, Duckster, not surprised that you're an anti-Semitic Nazi. 725 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll get back to our discussion about the State of the Union. If you want to weigh in, 303-713-7600. We got a couple of open lines. We're going to get to the phones. 303-713-7600. I said that I thought the speech diagnosed the problems of the country pretty well. But I thought the speech was one of the most cynical speeches that I've ever heard, because for such a smart guy and for such a right-on diagnosis of the problems our country faces, the policy prescriptions put forward to fix them in the State of the Union speech are not even close to serious. I mean, they're almost laughable if they weren't so insulting. Let's get back to a couple more clips, and then we'll take your calls. Again, 303-713-7600. All right, here's another clip from the speech.
China's not waiting to revamp its economy. Germany's not waiting. India's not waiting. These nations they're not standing still. These nations aren't playing for second place. They're putting more emphasis on math and science. They're rebuilding their infrastructure. They're making serious investments in clean energy because they want those jobs.
Now, I thought this was the best part of the speech. I thought that line was actually the single best part of the speech. He's talking about the need to invest more public money into our infrastructure, and he's making the comparison with other countries. Very, very solid, very, very right on. And actually, you don't hear that very much. You know, you always typically hear, we're number one, we're number one. He's saying, I mean, Obama was sort of saying that, but I think he was using that sort of jingoism that's embedded in our political culture to raise comparative questions about why other countries, why our economic competitors seem so comfortable with investing in their country, and why our anti-tax, anti-government culture seems so uncomfortable with that. I thought that was the best single part of the speech. Here's another clip.
Jobs must be our number one focus in 2010, and that's why I'm calling for a new jobs bill tonight.
Now, my problem with this is we don't get much outline of what the new jobs bill does. And my other problem with this was that later on in the speech, in a line that I'm sure a lot of lobbyists noted, but not a lot of pundits, of course, noted, he goes on to say that he, in the next year, is going to aim to strengthen our trade relations with key partners like South Korea, Panama, and Colombia. Now, you may remember there are these controversial NAFTA expansion bills into South Korea, Panama, and Colombia that the Congress has blocked, rightly so, because they have no labor, environmental, or human rights standards in them, which, again, would mean, just like NAFTA did, it would allow corporations, it would incentivize corporations to actually move more jobs overseas to exploit slave labor. I mean, when I heard that, I'm like, this is, and I said this on KBDI last night, this was a speech as if it was delivered by Bill Clinton, in the sense that Bill Clinton disastrously, policy-wise and politically, tacked to the corporate right in 1994, pushing, what do you know, NAFTA. So to me, that's what this was about. And I said, you got a big problem, President Obama, with working class voters who have been destroyed by trade policies like NAFTA, and you're doing a Clinton redux, and we all know what happened in 1994. Democrats got destroyed. The Republicans were ushered in to a, 12-year majority. Here's another clip.
Cannot let them win this fight. And if the bill that ends up on my desk does not meet the test of real reform, I will send it back until we get it right. We've got to get it right.
He's talking about health care there. And that was, I'm glad that he's dug back in on health care. I think we can all be glad about that. The problem is there was no lines in the sand, right? He just said, get me a bill, any bill, right? Where's the leadership about what should be in the bill? And I'll tell you something. He went on to say this, which this was the knife in my chest. I don't know about you. The knife in my chest was when he goes later on. He says, he's talking about health care. He says, if anyone from either party has a better approach than the current bill, than the Senate bill, that will bring down premiums, bring down the deficit, cover the uninsured, strengthen Medicare, and stop insurance company abuses, let me know. Here, I got one. How about this? How about single payer? How about expanding who can buy into Medicare? The idea that he would say he hasn't heard a better idea, a better policy idea than the Senate bill that simply hands over money to the insurance and drug companies with no strings attached. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about in terms of cynicism. Here's another clip.
Rather than fight the same tired battles that have dominated Washington for decades, it's time to try something new. Let's invest in our people without leaving them a mountain of debt. Let's meet our responsibility to the citizens who sent us here. Let's try common sense.
All right, so that's a lot of rhetoric. Let's get another clip, if we can. Putting Turk on the spot here.
Just saying no to everything may be good short-term politics, but it's not leadership. We were sent here to serve our citizens, not our ambition.
All right, he's right about that. He's sort of chastising the Republicans for, rightly so, for obstructing everything.
I hated it. You hated it. It was about as popular as a root canal.
All right, there he's talking about the bank bailout. And, this idea that both parties hated the bank bailout, I mean, what a joke. Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. I mean, they may not have liked it politically, but these guys were so quick to hand over so much cash to the bankers. The idea that, but we really hated it. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Blocked a bill that would have created this commission. So I'll issue an executive order that will allow us to go forward because I refuse to pass this problem on to another generation of Americans.
All right, so he's talking about the commission to slash Social Security and Medicare. We could keep going on, but you get the point here. There were no big transformative ideas in this speech. There were no serious policy prescriptions to the problems that he rightly outlined. He went on to there was one other line in here that I really did like. He did go on to say that we cannot afford another so-called economic expansion like the one from last decade, where jobs grew more slowly than during any other prior so-called expansion. And he goes on to say that we can't just simply cut taxes, deregulate, do exactly what got us here in the first place. It was an indictment of the Republican ideology. I thought that was good. So I go back to my thesis. Barack Obama is a fantastic speechmaker who knows how to diagnose problems really well. And he's smart enough to know what the real solutions to the problems are. But he offered up no serious solutions last night. Zero. It was one of the most cynical speeches that I have heard as a State of the Union address in my time listening to these State of the Union addresses. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Am I being too harsh? Or am I just demanding? Am I just expecting what candidate Obama promised us? Let's go to the phones. Kyle in New York City. Kyle, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I have the same problem with the whole healthcare thing as you are. I thought it was very disingenuous to say, I want both ideas from both parties when we were yelling at him for over a year about the public option. I mean, someone like Ed Schultz talks about the public option all the time, and Robert Gibbs says, you just want the public option so you'll get better ratings on TV. I mean, it's like he just laughs in our face.
It was that line, right? That line where he said, if anyone from either party has a better approach, they'll bring down premiums, bring down the deficit, cover the uninsured, strengthen Medicare for seniors, and stop insurance company abuses, let me know. It's like, what do you mean, let you know? Well, I mean, are you serious? Like, no one's let you know? That's that's what I'm talking about. Like, when I hear that, right, I'm like, dude, Mr. President, you're like insulting me, and you're insulting millions of people who know what a BS artist you are. Like, oh, like your phone hasn't rung, right? Like, no one's called you up and said, hey, there's that thing called the public option or maybe single payer or maybe letting people buy into Medicare. He's like, I haven't heard any good ideas. It's like playing deliberately naive, deliberately ignorant. It's such an irritating tick. You know what I mean?
Did you see David Axelrod on CNN last night?
No, what'd he say?
And this just blew me out of the water. He said that Republicans have said that we don't include their ideas, but then he went on to say that their idea of buying insurance across state lines is in the Senate bill. I was blown away by that.
Yeah, I just think that's the other part of this. The idea that if Obama, quote unquote, reaches out to Republicans more, that the Republicans will work with him. I mean, that's the other part of this that's not talked about, right? I mean, this whole idea that the Republicans will work with him. I mean, they have made clear that they are not going to work with him. And by the way, this goes back to the fundamental conflict of Barack Obama's, of what he ran on. He ran on two separate themes, right? He ran on a platform that says, I'm going to get X, Y, and Z done. Okay, that was one. The agenda, the platform he campaigned on. He also campaigned on bipartisanship. And those are mutually exclusive. Because the Republican Party will not work with him on the agenda that he promised. So he has to choose now between his agenda and between trying to work with Republicans. If he, quote unquote, works with Republicans, he'll have to sacrifice the policy priorities of his agenda. If he sticks to the agenda he campaigned on, Republicans have made clear they won't work with him. My hope is, at the end of the day, when you look back on presidents, right, when you look back on a program like Medicare, when you look back on a program like Social Security, any of the great programs, we don't remember what the vote was on those programs. Well, we're not like, oh, that was great, FDR got a big hug from the Republicans in Congress. Nobody cares about that. The only thing people care about is results. So I hope that Obama chooses his agenda. From this speech, I don't sense that I don't think there's any evidence that he is choosing the agenda we elected him on, the one he explicitly campaigned on. There was no mention of the public option. I mean, not only was there no mention, he was claiming he had never even heard of anything like the public option. Hey, Kyle, thanks for the call. Thanks for making the point. 7:37 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Up next, a clip from Chris Matthews, Jackass of the Day. He may get Schmuck of the Week tomorrow.
He's definitely deserving.
I mean, really, like, could you be any whiter and any more insensitive? Really, you're not going to believe this clip after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Still working this crash northbound I-25, just after Highway 66, messing things up in Longmont and Firestone area there near Highway 119. It looks like the left-hand side of the highway is still partially blocked. Heavy jams on C-470 as well, Quincy to I-70. Northbound and southbound 225 also showing speeds in the 30s there. Parker Road to 25 for the southbound trip. Northbounders, Parker Road up to Mississippi, just a small stretch there. Also single car crash, a couple of them up in the high country. Eastbound I-70 near Silver Plume. Another one westbound side near Loveland. That one's a rollover. So it is slick up in the high country. Things aren't so bad here in the city.
Forecast, partial afternoon clearing, but cloudy and cold. High of 34. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and dry. High of 42. Right now, 27 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you sell your gold through the mail to some out-of-town stranger, you're getting ripped off. Take it to Fast Cash, and you'll get 40% more in cash and on the spot. Want to get what your gold's really worth? Get a quote from Fast Cash before you sell. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
Now the internet answers to you. When you use Yahoo Search, it's easier than ever to find the things you're looking for. From that restaurant everyone's buzzing about, to the cool new site you heard a friend mention, to finding the things that matter most to you. Yahoo Search makes it simple to save, share, even add notes to your searches. It's the search you've been searching for. Yahoo Search. Only on Yahoo. It's you. Start your search on Yahoo today.
Yahoo!
Comcast presents The On-Demand Couple. On June 26th, Shaquille O'Neal was traded alone in a new town. He turned to his friend Ben Stein. Luckily, Ben had the Comcast Triple Play with On-Demand.
I start and stop hit TV shows and the latest movies whenever I want. This feels like home already.
You too can enjoy the Comcast Triple Play with On-Demand. Now only $99 a month for 12 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and enjoy access to thousands of On-Demand choices, including movies, TV series, and kids shows. And now, you can even watch online, anywhere, anytime.
Shaq, you're blocking my movie.
Watch it on my laptop.
You can watch it on your laptop? Wait, that's my laptop.
Hurry and call 1-800-COMCAST today and get the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand for just $99 a month for 12 months. Or step up to our HD Triple Play and get up to $200 back.
Offer ends 3710, applies to starter XF Triple Play for new residential customers. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra.
2-week trial of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you do not lose the weight, you never pay for the product. Call for your free trial now. 1-800-400-8432. That's 1-800-400-8432. 1-800-400-8432.
My husband's always had dark circles under his eyes. He blames his dad for that. But then his work stress and schedule made them even more noticeable. To add to the problem, he didn't want to use some fancy eye cream made for women. That's why I got him Hydralyze.
Hydralyze is a scientific breakthrough that isn't fancy, it's effective. Developed by a plastic surgeon, Hydralyze visibly erases dark circles and bags, whether they're due to heredity, aging, or fatigue. If the man in your life has dark under-eye circles or bags, do him a favor and call in the next 10 minutes for a free trial of Hydralyze. The number is 1-800-400-5797.
My husband didn't think he had any options. Now he has the solution.
Men and women who've tried clinically proven Hydralyze are amazed at the dramatic results. If you know someone suffering from dark under-eye circles and bags, call in the next 10 minutes for a risk-free trial of Hydralyze. That's a free trial at 1-800-400-5797. 1-800-400-5797.
Please stay tuned for a free weight loss offer following this story.
I gained my weight after I had my first child, and within a year, I gained like 150 pounds. For 20 years, I tried everything, you know, from different diets, exercising. One time I seen a friend, and when I seen her, she was slim. So I said, how did you do that? You know, how did you get so skinny so fast? And she was like, rice-sized smoothies. So that's when I decided to try rice-sized smoothies. And when I first started, the first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time I hit a year, I lost 143 pounds. When I look in the mirror, I see a beautiful person now. I love the Right Size Smoothies. It's the best thing that happened to me.
If you would like to try Right Size Smoothies for free, call now for a free 2-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
Is a jackass. I know everybody listening knows that he is a jackass and that he is not exactly the most racially or ethnically appropriate person. He's kind of like a fat, stupid white guy is what I would call him. Kind of a meathead, and the worst kind, a meathead who also thinks he's brilliant. Those are the worst kinds. Like George Bush was like a meathead who thinks he's smart.
And remember when Matthews was saying how he wanted like a big strong man in the office?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He's got this real infatuation with big strong men.
Yeah, it's really strange. He's, you know, like, and I'll give you some examples of meatheads who don't know that they're stupid. Like Glenn Beck is like the best example. Glenn Beck is really as J. Marvin would call it, is really a brainstem. I mean, really, is really an extraordinarily aggressively and militantly stupid person.
And you know what I think Glenn Beck does every day? I mean, this is seriously what he does with his producers and, like, whoever runs his shows. They probably like, huh, Glenn, what outrageous thing can we say today? What can you do, or, you know, what can I do to be completely outrageous or say something that's totally outlandish today?
Yeah, but the worst part about it is then he's like, he purports to be smart. He's like quoting history.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, my favorite founder is. It's like, dude, you're an absolute moron.
He is a complete moron.
But Chris Matthews,
I don't think he believes 75% of the things he says.
Well,
I really don't.
I have no idea. I only can judge him on what he says, and what he says is militantly stupid. And oftentimes, what Chris Matthews says is militantly stupid and offensive. Here's an example from last night from Chris Matthews. A statement that really, can't say I'm shocked, but, and I'm not shocked that it comes from Chris Matthews, and I'm not shocked that people think this way, especially, and in particular, white people, but listen to this quote.
You know, I was trying to think about who he was tonight, and it's interesting, he is post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour. You know, he's gone a long way to become a leader of this country and passed so much history in just a year or two. I mean, it's something we don't even think about. I was watching and I said, wait a minute, he's an African-American guy in front of a bunch of other white people, and here he is president of the United States, and we've completely forgotten that tonight.
What are you talking about? I mean, what? Are you drunk? I mean, what are you talking about? What he's really saying is, what's so incredible about this, Chris Matthews has effectively told us that every other time he looks at Barack Obama, he is obsessed with race. That he only sees Barack Obama as a black guy. I mean, really, it boggles the mind. This is what I'm talking about when we've been talking about for weeks and months on this show, what latent racism really is. There are white people people like Chris Matthews, nobody thinks about their race. Black people, minorities, they are seen by the media, they are seen by whites in general, as being defined only by their race. And it was like shocking to Chris Matthews, shocking, that for one moment, Chris Matthews wasn't completely and totally consumed and obsessed by Barack Obama's race. So ridiculous, really. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Nicole in Denver. Nicole, you're on AM 760.
Hello?
Hi there.
Oh, hi. I don't agree with what you said about the speech. And when you said it was the knife in your chest, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, that seems pretty extreme. Don't you think that Barack Obama is in a position where he kind of has to play a fine line here? He's kind of on the fence between what needs to be done and needs to be moved and initiated by the people, American people, versus trying to placate to the people that have the money, which is these insurance companies. I think he's trying to motivate us to get off the fence, but he can't really say everything that he wants to say because he's bound by this powerful other side.
Well, a couple things with that. I mean, first of all, apparently you have mental telepathy because you can get into the mind of what Barack Obama is really thinking. I simply take him at his word. I simply read what he says or listen to what he says and try to evaluate it. You're kind of going down the road of Nixon's secret plan. Right, Nixon kept saying, you know, the idea that he's escalating the war, but he's actually wants to end the war. He's got a secret plan to end the war. I take him for what he said, and I look at what he said, and I say, what have you actually proposed here? What are you actually trying to mobilize people to do? And when I look at the actual policy prescriptions, I say, you're not proposing policy prescriptions. You're not proposing to mobilize people around policy prescriptions that are serious. If you want to get the deficit under control, you don't say we're not going to touch Pentagon spending. If you're serious.
Well, I'll
let you go. I'll let you respond to this. But I just want to also say this. The idea that he's caught between some place, the man has the largest congressional majority of any party in modern history. Everybody needs to remember that. The largest congressional majority of any party, any president in modern history. So
and
the idea that he's caught between,
him?
That he's caught between, he's got to be careful because he's, he's got 59 votes in the Senate. That is an absolutely enormous majority.
That's a fact, so you can't agree or disagree with it. But what have they done? What has that majority done?
I'm not absolving them, but what I'm saying is that up to him to push them. He has got to push them. You've seen him on the public option. I mean, you can't seriously say, as just that one example, you can't seriously say that he expended serious political capital trying to pass a public option, going back and forth one time saying, oh, the public option's a good idea, oh, it's not important. That's my point. We need leadership there. We need somebody whipping there. I mean, George, I'll give you an example. George Bush had way less votes in the Congress, and George Bush passed way more in his first year. I forget which progressive had said it. It said if George Bush was pushing healthcare would have been passed 6 months ago.
Wow. Well, I don't disagree with you there. I mean, there are enough votes where we can get something serious on the table, but I don't think that's all up to him.
It's not all up to Nicole. I completely agree, and I don't want to come off as sounding like I am absolving the Congress. The Congress is a huge, huge part of the problem. But
I think they are part of the problem.
They are.
So I guess my thing is, what can we do at this point to try to whip these people into shape?
Well, I'll tell you what you can do. I'll tell you, babe. You asked a good question. I'll tell you what you can do. We can use, as an example, just for our state, we have a primary between Michael Bennett and Andrew Romanoff. If that primary becomes a serious primary challenge, a serious contested primary challenge, it is going to make Michael Bennett, who is in the Senate, who has been at times part of the problem, it's going to hopefully make him a little bit more responsive because his job will be on the line. So if you don't like what one of your legislators is doing, if you think a given legislator is part of the problem, then get involved in putting pressure on them. And I'm not saying you haven't done that, but what I'm saying is there are avenues to make change right now. And they don't get a lot of media coverage, but they're out there. Nicole, I appreciate the call. Thanks for the call. 751 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. More of your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Stop and go to the usual spots around town, Dave. Southbound out of Aurora after Parker Road on 225. Also on I-25 southbound side. Busy from Colorado to Evans. That's a little bit unusual for us. Do have a situation out east, two jackknife semis and a rollover on I-70 near Deer Trail. That is in Aurora. Also a rollover crash in the high country westbound I-70 near Loveland Ski Resort. Also a lot of traffic on C-470 this morning. Might be some slicker conditions the further west you go. Forecast light snow showers going to taper off this morning and early afternoon. Could even see some sun late today. Highs in the low to mid-30s. Right now, 28 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Right now on Examiner.com, the Denver Home and Living Examiner discusses the upcoming Denver Electronics Recycling Event. Bring all those old gadgets you never could figure out how to use. Connect with everything you love about Denver at Examiner.com.
With turn right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund, guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking to
newlyweds.
Hi, my husband and I are combining our policies, and my mother-in-law says we can save with Progressive.
Well, with online, homeowners, and multi-car discounts, saving on car insurance is easy.
So you're saying she's right?
I'm saying get used to it.
Get great savings and more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Discounts not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Save money with Bargain Watch at am760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at am760.net.
7:54, now's the time we talk to Mike Spear of Presidential Brokerage. 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600 for the team at Presidential Brokerage. Mike, I don't know if the markets are responding or even do respond to the State of the Union. What are they doing right now?
Well, they're slightly negative. They were positive early this morning. Now they're negative again. And this is exactly what happened yesterday, David. They were positive part of the day. They went negative. Then they went positive again. So they're really vacillating back and forth here between going positive and negative, which means it's a sideways trading pattern, essentially. It doesn't really scream up and stay there and build on it again the next day. It's just kind of going sideways back and forth. The Dow right now is down 35.5. The NASDAQ's down 15.3. The S&P is down 3. The Russell's down 2.5. But this is, again, what happened yesterday. I think the important thing here is that it's not making any giant moves one way or another. So the longer, believe it or not, the longer it trades sideways like this, the better it bodes for an advance forward, or at least a more powerful move one way or another when it makes its moves. But I think one thing that might help people to understand what's going on, if they go to presidentialbrokerage.com, we have two Outlook 2010 reports there. And one of them, both of them, talk about what's going to happen in 2010 with the market, with fixed income, with stocks, with commodities, with inflation, all of those things. So go to presidentialbrokerage.com and pull down those two reports. One is a Wells Fargo report and one is a Riverfront report. And that really give you an idea as to what's going on now and really kind of reaffirms. Go to presidentialbrokerage.com.
Again, it's presidentialbrokerage.com. You can give the team at Presidential Brokerage a call, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Mike.
Thanks, David.
Senator Michael Bennett is facing a tough choice. There's pressure in Washington to give up the fight to solve global warming. Lobbyists are whispering that it's too hard, that Congress should pass the kind of energy bill we had under George Bush, one that doesn't put a cap on global warming pollution. But this may be the last chance in a generation to solve the climate crisis. We have, for now, enough pro-environment senators of both parties to pass a real limit on global warming pollution. We only need the will to get it done. Scientists tell us we must act now. Senator Bennett, oppose a George Bush-style energy bill. Fight for a real limit on global warming pollution. Fight for a better future for our children and grandchildren. Sponsored by Environmental Defense Action Fund.
The Home Depot has lowered prices on items throughout the store, the products you need most. So you save money and get more out of every project you do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
7:57 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, we got a very short amount of time left. Two callers to go. Manuel in Denver, you got 30 seconds. Fire away, then we're going to get to Steve. Manuel, go ahead. Manuel is gone. Okay, Steve in Atlanta. Steve, you've got a minute. Steve, fire away.
All right, hey, you're bringing me down, man. I'm just kidding. The positive things about the speech, you know, I'm down here in the South. And when I talk to my redneck brothers, you know, try to show them the light, you know, the Democrats have been making it very hard with a lot of the policies they've done and a lot of things that have gone on. So what he did in his speech was he really showed, he took the ball back from the Republicans. He really showed the Republicans, you know, what they truly are, how they would not applaud for, taxing the banks to bring back the loans, how they would not applaud to support closing tax loopholes that sent jobs overseas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that I want to be clear. I think there were a couple of good parts of this. I think diagnosing the problem, he diagnosed it right. And I think on some of the bank stuff, getting tough with the banks, he was right. And we're going to get into the Republicans saying they're going to try to block that tax. So I think you're right. He has cornered them. That's a good point. All right, up next, Congressman Ed Perlmutter about the State of the Union.
AM 760 and CBS News bring you audio on demand on AM760.net.
60 minutes.
CBS News.
Face the nation.
Stay informed with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.
Rate based on APR of 5.53%. Approval contingent on full underwriting analysis. Check website for licensing information. Premium Capital Funding, LLC, DBA Top Dot Mortgage, 125 Jericho Turnpike, Jericho, New York.
You worked hard to get where you are. A nice house, a couple of cars in the garage. Unfortunately, you've also got an adjustable rate mortgage that could increase any time. But now you can take control, because Top Dot Mortgage, an equal housing lender, is now offering FHA 30-year fixed rate loans at the historical low of 4.875%. You could save hundreds of dollars a month. You heard me, hundreds of dollars a month. At Top Dot, we provide a low-stress, customized approach so you can get the right mortgage to suit your individual needs. And right now, you can get your rate absolutely free. Just call 1-800-500-6244. These historically low fixed rates may only be available for a limited time. For free information, 1-800-500-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sevapane. Some Americans still aren't sold.
He did not explain to me how he was going to help us create more jobs. That's actually what we really need.
Well, President Obama has just left on a trip to show skeptics how he'll make good on his State of the Union promise to get the economy up and running again. In Tampa a few hours from now, he'll announce $8 billion in federal grants for high-speed rail lines. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman.
31 states will receive funds. The largest chunk, $2.3 billion, will go to California for a high-speed rail project that will get passengers from L.A. to San Francisco in under 3 hours. Florida will get around $1.2 billion for a high-speed line between Orlando and Tampa. Another billion is designated for a rail line connecting Chicago and St. Louis. And all 13 major rail projects are set to receive money. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Toyota may have found a way to fix faulty gas pedals in millions of recalled cars and trucks. Live to CBS's Steve Kathan. What's the latest, Steve?
Well, the maker of the faulty pedal has reportedly designed a new one, tested it, and has started shipments to Toyota. Answers can't come soon enough for beleaguered dealers.
We want to know. We want this whole thing over with.
But analyst Rebecca Lindland says replacing all those problem pedals will take a while.
Typically, suppliers make about 16,000 of these a week, and we're talking about 2.3 million vehicles that need to be replaced.
And Ford has stopped production of some vehicles in China because pedals come from the same maker. Frank?
Well, Ford says it made $2.7 billion last year. That's the company's first full-year profit in 4 years. The trial of Scott Roeder for the shooting of late-term abortion doctor George Tiller should resume any minute now, and Roeder is expected to take the stand in his own defense.
The whole defense strategy this entire time has been to show why Scott Roeder felt like he needed to kill Dr. Tiller, to shut down Tiller's clinic, to stop abortions in Wichita. So basically, that's what he's going to be talking about.
KWCH-TV's Cliff Judy in Wichita. The number of laid-off workers who filed new unemployment insurance claims fell by 8,000 last week. Global Insight chief economist Brian Bethune says that's progress of a sort.
It's moving in the right direction. It's just not moving as quickly as we would like.
Orders for big-ticket durable goods posted a small gain in December to close out the year with the biggest annual decline on record. A USA Today analysis finds that one of every five nursing homes in the country has been rated poor for overall quality. Larry Minnix, president of a nursing home industry trade association, says that's just not good enough.
We believe that there should be two types of nursing homes, the excellent and the non-existent.
The funeral service for the father of Olympic figure skating champion Nancy Kerrigan is scheduled to take place shortly. Daniel Kerrigan died Sunday after what authorities in Massachusetts say was a violent struggle with his son, Mark. In early Wall Street trading, the averages are moving lower. The Dow is down about 49 points. This is CBS News.
Kid and Richard's identity has been working hard.
Hey, you've been doing a lot of online shopping, and I appreciate it, but...
Whatever, I'm kind of tired, so...
Wait, what is that hanging off you? Was that a barnacle?
It's a cookie. It tracks information.
Oh, you got like 30 of them on you! You are a mess!
I'm fine!
Isn't it time your identity got a checkup? Right now, Identity Guard is offering a free identity checkup. Visit IdentityGuard.com and find out if yours has been exposed. That's IdentityGuard.com. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts.
And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. President Obama's first State of the Union address has Colorado lawmakers taking familiar sides. Democratic Senator Mark Udall.
He made it clear that he's not interested in America being number two. Neither am I, neither are Coloradans. And at the end of his speech, he made it also clear that he doesn't quit and America doesn't quit.
Republicans were not as impressed.
You know, Bill Clinton shifted to the middle, and I don't see him shifting to the middle, and he needs to do that in order to move the ball forward to help this country to get this economy to recover.
Colorado Congressman Mike Kaufman. After a four-hour hearing, the state Senate's Health and Human Services Committee voted to pass a bill to regulate medical marijuana. Chris Romer is co-sponsor.
I think this is the beginning of the end of the Wild West, and I think this is a good bill, and it's a modest proposal, and I think this will be fair to those who deserve to be on the registry.
The bill requires doctors who provide medical marijuana to do a physical exam for patients and provide follow-up care. In sports, 8 wins in a row now for the Denver Nuggets. They beat the Rockets last night in Houston. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now, here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where you're going to run into some delays at the mid of this morning commute. Traveling eastbound on C-470 Platte Canyon all the way up towards I-25. Speeds are going to dip down into the 20s and 30s through that stretch. Northbounders on 225. Feeling it just coming around that Parker curve all the way up towards 6th Avenue. But the slowest stretches of this morning's commute exist. Southbound I-25 downtown coming up on Spear. Speeds in the teens and 20s. Same speed conditions. Eastbound 270 I-25 towards Vasquez as well as southbound 225 between Parker and I-25. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a high in the upper 30s today. Currently, it's 28 and cloudy. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Come into Qdoba Mexican Grill today and try the new Craft 2 menu. Mix and match two smaller portion Qdoba dishes, like the Naked Queso Burrito and Grilled Chicken Quesadilla, for just $5.99. Qdoba Mexican Grill, handmade for real.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Bye, bye, bye,
bye, wow! 806 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Our instant messages are teeming. You can always instant messages, am760.net. Go over there, check out our must-read of the day. It's about defense analysts and their reaction to President Obama's State of the Union speech. I think it'll be enlightening for you. A lot of them are not happy because they say it's disingenuous to try to balance the budget or say you're going to try to balance the budget without looking at how to get rid of Pentagon waste. Of course, Pentagon, the biggest discretionary spending program. I just want to read one or two of your emails here before we get to Congressman Perlmutter. This is from Burns Alkire. Do you think you're mature enough to go through one entire program, Sirota, without calling people names? You talk like a child, and it only shows your lack of vocabulary. You know, I've been criticized for a lot of things, but not having a lack of vocabulary. Maybe I should think about that. You should be ashamed of yourself. It's clear to see that your parents did a very poor job of raising you. Mom and Dad, if you're listening, don't feel too bad. And then the next email that comes in, Dave, you rock. Every day I listen, I'm so pleased that you are uncompromising on progressive issues, and I'm thrilled that you champion vegetarian and humane issues. No one else on the dial comes close to you. Thanks, Val. I appreciate that. All right. Joining us now, bring him into the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, is one of our favorite members of Congress, Congressman Ed Perlmutter from right here in Colorado. All right, let's gong him in. Congressman Ed Perlmutter in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Thanks for taking the time this morning, Congressman Perlmutter.
Sure. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Okay, so we'll start off, because it's only fair to, before we get into the details of this, just give us your thoughts on the speech.
I liked the speech. I felt that he reminded people, you know, what he inherited, you know, the two wars, the tax cuts, the the debt created by the prescription drug bill and a giant deficit they walked in the door, and, you know, 785,000 job losses last January when he came in. So, you know, he set the stage and reminded people, and so that they don't have mass amnesia as to the plight of this country, and which has improved. We certainly aren't out of the woods, but it's improved over the course of last year.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the Obama administration has made a tactical error over its first year, and I'm not really concerned with. It doesn't bother me in the sense of it's not a policy question. I think that they've made a tactical error in not continuing to remind people that the problem of the economy was created by 8, 10, 12, 15 years of really conservative right-wing policies. In this speech last night, I forget the exact line, but he said, you know, we can't keep doing the same things that we've done. So he started reminding folks again. And I know the right will say, oh, well, you know, you just want to hate George Bush. And everybody, and of course, the right-wingers, these are the same people whose party, when Ronald Reagan came into office, I just read a historian's review about how Reagan basically campaigned against Jimmy Carter for 3 years of his first term. So I think it has been a tactical error that they have not reminded people more that this was created by the previous administration. Now, let's get to some of the issue that you just mentioned, the deficit and the debt. Do you think it's disingenuous for the president to tell Americans that we can solve our problem of the national debt and the deficit by focusing all or the bulk of the so-called spending cuts on non-defense discretionary spending, a part of the spending budget that makes up 6% of the total budget deficit?
Okay, there are two things in my mind that, and he touched on both of them, you know, creation of jobs, getting people back to work, that's first order of business. Second order of business is reining in the debt. And you're right. I mean, everything's got to be subject to scrutiny where cuts can be made. And, you know, let's not forget that the first responsibility with respect to the budget and to appropriations rests with the United States House of Representatives and the Senate of the United States. So he can say, I want a spending freeze, you know, in X categories, and we certainly will respect his wishes. But we have a responsibility that goes beyond that.
And I know that very, very well, only because I used to work on the Appropriations Committee, and my old boss, Dave Obie, who's now chairman of the Appropriations Committee, he would always pull out his little constitution in his pocket. And I think it was Article 1, Section 9, you know, the Congress and the House will have the essentially the power of the purse. So you're absolutely right. I wonder, put it like this. Forget about what ultimately ends up happening on the budget. And we'll get to jobs in a second. But is him going out and using his bully pulpit to say that we can cut the deficit in a major kind of way by exempting Pentagon spending, as an example, from any kind of reform? Does that kind of confirm a really pernicious and dishonest mantra of the right wing? The Reagan welfare queen kind of stuff that it's just these social programs that are bankrupting us, and we shouldn't talk about this huge bloated defense budget.
I think you're reading way too much into that, in my opinion. But, you know, I mean, I gotta talk about what we can do in the House with and then the Senate will do whatever the heck it does. And, you know, he picked on the Senate plenty because we've got three or four giant bills sitting over there that aren't getting handled. But, you know, whether it confirms sort of some of the right-wing mantra or not, I don't know. I'm not going there. But what I do know is we do first need to get jobs going and revenue from, you know, a more prosperous economy coming in helps cut the debt in the first place. The second thing is we've got to take a look at different programs, and I think everything's on the table.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you think everything should be on the table. Now let's turn to jobs. And again, on the line with us is Congressman Ed Perlmutter of Colorado's 7th District.
David, I do want to remind you of one big bill that we passed a whole bunch of stuff, because I heard you earlier on about different things that hadn't been done. But one of the ones that I think is a very important bill that was passed and signed by the president and refused to be signed under the prior administration was the Weapons Acquisition Reform Act, which really does look at at contracts and purchases that are bloated and just bad.
And that's fair enough, and I'm glad you bring that up. I mean, at the same time, of course, there was a story in the Politico this week, I guess it was last week, where Secretary of Defense Gates met with defense contractors and assured them that the Obama administration was committed to ever-increasing Pentagon budgets. And that was literally right out of the story. But I agree. I mean, there have been some nibbles at the edges. Let's turn to jobs now, because this was a big part of the speech. You hear some people say, look, the federal government, and this is mostly people on the right, the federal government can't do anything to spur jobs, right? I mean, what can the federal government do? Now, I was on KBDI last night, and I said, you know, that just shows how far to the right our whole debate has moved. If you think the federal government can't do anything to create jobs, I mean, I know nobody's talking about a kind of Rooseveltian Works Progress Administration or Civilian Conservation Corps. God forbid we ever even talk about that. But what do you say to people who conservatives out there in the media who respond to President Obama's speech and say, look, you know, he can talk all he wants about jobs, but there's nothing he can really do to create jobs other than maybe to cut some more taxes?
Well, I just think they're wrong. First of all, that we have at least a dozen transportation projects going in the 7th Congressional District, so the suburbs of Denver, that are the result of the Recovery Act that wouldn't be there but for that particular act, and the people working on those construction projects wouldn't be working.
Amen.
The second is out at the National Renewable Energy Lab. That lab is growing. It's an investment in our future and jobs today, but it's growing and will continue to spawn private sector jobs throughout the metropolitan area. I think that's a huge thing for Colorado. And you know, one of the reasons Colorado is better off than the rest of the country, we still need to improve, is because we have clean energy jobs going in our state. And it's an area that the president highlighted last night in his speech, and it's an area where Colorado is excelling.
When we talk about Wall Street reform, because he touched on that a lot, and you've been working on it pretty diligently, he talked about his bank tax, which I think is a step in the right direction. My only problem with it, I think it's a little too modest. I'm reading here from the Huffington Post. House Republicans are organizing against this bank tax, and they are preparing. So is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They are preparing to make their argument a jobs argument. They are making their argument that if we crack down on the banks or even try to recover some of the bailout money through this kind of tax, it will hurt jobs. What do you say to those who say that Wall Street reform or getting tough with Wall Street, however you want to put it, is diametrically opposite or antithetical to President Obama's stated goal of creating jobs?
Well, all I can tell you is that the casino-like atmosphere under the Bush administration, I mean, they allowed Wall Street to do anything, to take the biggest gambles. And when that house of cards came tumbling down in September of 2008, it sent shockwaves into this country that caused the loss of millions of jobs, the height of which was 785,000 jobs the last month of George Bush. Thank goodness that job loss has been going down ever since, but it's still something that we've got to deal with because people are still out of work. So I'd say that, you know, they're just, these guys don't get it. You know, they want to keep doing the same things. They want to just allow their buddies to run rampant on Wall Street, and we just can't do that anymore.
Do you think people should have confidence in the Obama administration that it is now, I guess after the Massachusetts election, serious or more serious than it has been about getting that, as you say, that casino economy under control? I mean, there's a lot of skeptics out there who say, look, the first year of the Obama administration has seen the administration has been packed with people who are too close to Wall Street, Tim Geithner, Larry Summers, et cetera, and the administration hasn't really pushed hard enough on serious Wall Street reform and, in fact, has really given away a lot of things to Wall Street. Should people... Are they wrong to feel a little bit skeptical of this so-called new populism by President Obama?
Well, I think, look, in the House of Representatives, we passed a huge reform package of banks, you know, from consumer protection to investor protection to the casino stuff that was going on in Wall Street, powers to break up the big banks, dealing with derivatives, all of that stuff. Now, I think the president, particularly in the last month, has now, you know, he focused on Afghanistan. He's been having to deal with the health care bill, but he really did, I think, personally focus on this bank legislation. And he came out with, he wants a firm Glass-Steagall. Now, for your listeners, Glass-Steagall basically says you can't have stockbrokers and commercial banks under one roof. You just can't, because they don't play well together. And that was the very first act of the Roosevelt administration.
Right, you don't want the banks gambling with people's deposits.
Right. See, and the investment bankers, they have a role to play in the economy, and that is to take risks. But you don't want those risks taken with depositors' money, which ultimately could become taxpayer money. So the president really, you know, took a very forceful stand, you know, a few weeks ago on Glass-Steagall, and then this point about, hey, you know, the United States helped Wall Street get back on its feet. Wall Street can help, you know, Main Street.
Two really last quick questions for you. The first, I will just ask you the status of the proposed Consumer Protection Agency. The last I've read about it in the Senate is that there is serious consideration that the Senate is going to drop this Consumer Financial Protection Agency. This would be the new cop on the beat. And President Obama, to his credit, has pushed this particular part of Wall Street reform pretty diligently. Do you think Senate Democrats are going to drop that? If they do, how big a deal would it be?
Well, you're more familiar with the Senate than I am and the way they act. All I know is we have three very big pieces of legislation sitting there, which really was, you know, is the agenda. Energy, health care, and then bank reform. What they do within their banking committee and what we get back in the House, we'll just have to see. But the president, I mean, the Consumer Protection Act piece of this thing has been front and center of the president's agenda.
It really has been. I mean, it draws a contrast when you think about how much the president has pushed this and stuck to it with his behavior, I think, on the public option, on health care. That's a separate issue. Let me ask you two final questions, and I'm sorry to cut it short, but we gotta go. And they're two separate kind of issues. The state of play on healthcare, what do you see it as? Are we gonna move forward? Are we gonna move back? Is it status quo? Where are we on healthcare? And then what about the wars, right? I mean, is there any discussion anymore about, I mean, there's gonna be new funding requests for Afghanistan. Are these just going to sail through the Congress, or is the Congress, when we talked about, you know, looking at every piece of spending in the budget, is there going to be a reevaluation of just how much money, forget about this, the regular Pentagon budget, but an evaluation of these ongoing wars? Now we see even potentially a third war in Yemen.
I'm not sure you could ask me two bigger questions at
I know.
The same time.
Sorry.
On the health care question, you know, the Senate version and the House version, there are some big differences. And the different leaders in both the House and the Senate have been trying to see if there's some way to bridge those differences. Now, you know, I think you're going to end up getting a pared-down bill that will be presented to both sides on pieces where there is agreement. And then we'll just have to see how the votes shake out with the Massachusetts election of Scott Brown. You know, it does create some uncertainty. So we'll just have to see how that shakes out. But certainly there's lots of discussion going on. And we'll see how or if we can pare them down to a point where there's agreement on both sides. That's number one.
Okay,
number two,
right, yeah.
On the war front, I mean, the president, to his credit, made a promise to have soldiers and the military effort in Iraq finished by August of this year, and that seems to be right on track. Afghanistan is growing, but he made a speech, you know, at West Point that was an 18-month, let's see how we do with a surge. And so, you know, he's lived up to his word, I think, with respect to these things. Yemen, I just don't know. You know, I've read stuff in the paper. I have not been fully briefed on Yemen. So I don't want to comment on that.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Congressman Ed Perlmutter, as always, you take the high and tight fastballs pretty well. You really do.
No, no, you brush me back too many times.
We really appreciate it. Hey, you know, I mean, the thing is, I got to tell you something. There's a lot of shows out there where state leaders and political leaders come on, and I just think it's like if we're gonna have a discussion, let's duke it out. You know, I think the listeners get more information out of it. Not that I go out of my way to throw high and tight fastballs, but I really do appreciate, as I always say.
I think it's in your nature. You know, it's not something that you intend to do. It's just who you are.
You're right. And, you know, if you met my parents, you'd know why. You'd know why. And I say that, Mom and Dad, I love you. Ed Perlmutter, Congressman Ed Perlmutter, thank you so much for taking the time this morning, man. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks.
All right,
bye-bye.
See you. 824 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, the death of one of the greatest American icons of my lifetime. He wasn't of my generation. A really, really sad story from yesterday that got buried under the State of the Union. A tragic story. We were going to have this person on our show next month. I'll fill you in on it after a traffic update with John Turk.
Going back to Perlmutter, you know what we call that? Well, we should call it like chin music with Dave
chin
Sirota.
Chin music. There you go.
You know?
I like that. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Chin music with David Sirota. We'll try to install that in the show. Anyway, traffic is pretty decent considering we didn't get as much snow as we thought we'd get in the overnight. Some stop-and-go jams, though, on 25 northbound Downing Street to 6th Avenue. Also, southbound is there from 48th past Spear. In Aurora, southbound 225, full from Parker Road to 25. Same deal, eastbound 270 between 25 and Vasquez. Speeds in the teens there. Two jackknife semis and a rollover. It's on I-70 out on the east end near Deer Trail. Also, rollover crash westbound I-70 near Loveland Ski Area. New surface street accident at Alameda and Federal. Forecast, partial afternoon clearing, but cloudy and cold. High of 34. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and dry. High of 42 degrees. And right now, we're at 28 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Join.
Do you cringe when you think about your tax return? If so, you're not alone. Go to eFile.com now and prepare and eFile your taxes and get your maximum tax refund faster. eFile.com will guide you through simple, easy-to-understand questions. Just click eFile and you're done. Start with the free federal edition at eFile.com. Less taxing, more yours. Done at eFile.com.
More time asleep. And Mary is really appreciating that today.
Mm-hmm.
Aches and pains keeping you up? Switch to Advil PM. The difference is a better night's sleep. Use as directed.
With banks crumbling, retirement savings being depleted, and the economy in turmoil, there has never been a more important time to have gold on hand. The New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic gold coins, all uncirculated and more than 100 years old. For free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-300-5798. During the Great Depression, people kept precious metals and gold coins tucked away. No one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. Nowadays, most of us have never seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a secret hoard of gleaming U.S. gold coins was discovered, all uncirculated and minted between 1866 and 1933. The New York Mint will be releasing these coins to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
Coming up Thursday on the Tom Hartman Program, I'll be broadcasting live from the Families USA Conference in D.C., talking to movers, shakers, and newsmakers about health care and other issues concerning working families. Plus, how did President Obama do with his first State of the Union address? Did you hear what you needed, or are you over it and moving on? And, of course, the best of the rest of the news and your calls right here on the Tom Hartman Program, your radio support group for We the People.
It's the Tom Hartman Program, 1 to 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive. Progressive Talk.
And the world is
828 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, the 28th of Thursday. Sort of a milky day out there, gray, a little bit of snow on the ground. Tragic news yesterday that really, really bummed me out. Howard Zinn, at 89 years old, died suddenly yesterday of a heart attack. Howard Zinn, the great historian, the writer of, among other things, the People's History of the United States. We were going to have him on our show next month. I was very, very excited about it, and he died yesterday unexpectedly, although, you know, he lived a long life, 89 years old. Really feel like that I've lost a, at least personally, lost somebody who was a great inspiration to me as a writer. You know, it can feel very lonely out there, I think, to be a principled, a progressive. You know, nobody's pure. I try to be a principled progressive. I'm probably not perfect at it, not even close, but he was a great inspiration to me as a writer, somebody who said, who sort of showed that you could make a living, not just a living, you could succeed, you could make an impact by speaking truth to power. And he and Noam Chomsky, really two together, are kind of known as the great icons of, I guess you might call it the truly progressive intellectual movement. The if you could chisel a Mount Rushmore of those two, at least in modern times, contemporary times, it would be Howard Zinn and Noam Chomsky. And he died last night or yesterday. I'm not sure exactly what time, but I got the. I think a lot of people got the news last night. And I'm sure you'll see a couple of obituaries. They'll probably be buried because the traditional media, quite obviously, doesn't like Howard Zinn. And it's a real tragedy. And it was Howard Zinn. I know some of you, you know, you call up, you get mad at me for not championing one party's line or the other and not championing the Democrats enough. I've gotten, there's some guy out there on Facebook who stalks me every day saying that I'm an awful person because I won't simply cheer on the Democrats. I've got a lot of folks like that. And it was Howard Zinn. And this could be the tagline of our show, at least the belief of our of the show that I'm doing here, which is Howard Zinn's line: dissent is the highest form of patriotism. That's Howard Zinn. I want to read that again and remind everybody of that. Dissent is the highest form of patriotism. Now, that doesn't mean you go out of your way to dissent. That doesn't mean you create dissent where you don't believe in it or there shouldn't be any, in your opinion. But in a democracy, unlike the countries that so many of our ancestors came from, including mine, a democracy, the brilliance of a democracy is that a democracy is a place where dissent is not only tolerated, but is encouraged. That's what living in a democracy is supposed to be about. It is not supposed to be about worshiping the dear leader of either party, of any party. On Barack Obama, Howard Zinn had said very recently, just as an example of what he thought dissent was or what his opinion of the current situation was, he said, quote, "I've been searching hard for a highlight about Barack Obama. The only thing that comes close is some of Obama's rhetoric. I don't see any kind of highlight in his actions and his policies." Zinn said he was not, quote, "terribly disappointed because I didn't expect that much." He did not smoke the hopium. Noting that he has been, quote, Obama has been a traditional Democratic president on foreign policy, quote, hardly any different from a Republican, and has been cautious in domestic policy, quote, on health care. Zinn said, for example, he starts out, Obama does, with a compromise. And when you start out with a compromise, you end with a compromise of a compromise of a compromise, which is where we are now. Zinn also cautioned, quote, that Obama is going to be a mediocre president, which means in our time a very dangerous president, unless there is some national movement to push him in a better direction. Howard Zinn died yesterday at 89 years old. A really, really big bummer. I'm sorry to bum your day out on a gray, milky day. But I will say this, Howard Zinn does live on. And I know that's kind of a cheesy cliche, but he does live on in all of the people he has inspired with his writing, in all of the people he has infused with that idea that dissent, not worship, not sycophancy, not loyalty to any one or another politician, but dissent is the highest form of patriotism in a democracy. 833 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Is the Front Range taking too much water from the West Slope? Up next, we're going to explore that question with a couple of guests who say, yeah, unless we make some change. Stick around after a traffic update with John Turk.
Things are starting to loosen up a little bit, but still some heavy spots for us, especially C-470 moving across Highlands Ranch, Platte Canyon, up to I-25. On 25, looking pretty good across the Tech Center. Northbounders will hit the brakes, though, around Emerson Street as you get closer to downtown. Southbounders still struggling in North Glen. Thornton, again, downtown after 48th Avenue. Out east on I-70, rollover and two jackknife semis near Deer Trail. Also, got an auto pet accident at 8th and Lincoln, and an accident at Alameda and Federal. Forecast, light snow showers will taper off this morning and early afternoon. Could even see some sun today. Highs will be in the low to mid-30s. Right now, 28 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Head to your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer during their Colorado Snow Days and get a great price on one of 19 Mercedes-Benz 4MATIC all-wheel drive models, including the road-gripping C-Class 4MATIC. But hurry, these snow days won't be around forever.
Now the Internet answers to you. When you use Yahoo Search, it's easier than ever to find the things you're looking for. From that restaurant everyone's buzzing about, to the cool new site you heard a friend mention, to finding the things that matter most to you. Yahoo Search makes it simple to save, share, even add notes to your searches. It's the search you've been searching for. Yahoo Search. Only on Yahoo. It's you. Start your search on Yahoo today.
Yahoo!
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. For Valentine's Day, get a $1,000 Bear Creek Salon Beauty Package for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo. I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Hey, this is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $4.99 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should, too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Energy Research Group is looking for homes to install energy-saving products on. They will pay you every month of the following year for the use of your home. The products include an insulated roof system, replacement windows, attic insulation, and insulated lifetime siding. All test homes will have infrared and pressurization performed to diagnose all energy leaks the home has. One or all of these products could be used on your home at little to no cost to you. Installation crews are limited, so you must call right away. 303-339-8304. 303-339-8304.
Please stay tuned for a free weight loss offer following this story.
I gained my weight after I had my first child, and within a year, I gained like 150 pounds. For 20 years, I tried everything, you know, from different diets, exercising. One time I seen a friend, and when I seen her, she was slim. So I said, how did you do that? You know, how did you get so skinny so fast? And she was like, right-size smoothies. So that's when I decided to try right-size smoothies. And when I first started, the first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time I hit a year, I lost 143 pounds. When I look in the mirror, I see a beautiful person. I love the Right Size Smoothies. It's the best thing that happened to me.
If you would like to try Right Size Smoothies for free, call now for a free two-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
The home
Home Depot has lowered prices on items throughout the store, the products you need most. So you save money and get more out of every project you do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
So you just heard a Geico commercial a few seconds ago. Hopefully it made you laugh, or maybe just chuckle. If it made you cry, well, then we might have a problem. Anyway, the important thing is go to Geico.com and you could save 15% or more on your car insurance.
On AM 760 Progressive Talk. I want to correct the record. An instant messenger sent us a message saying that Howard Zinn was not 89, he was 87. You know, it's interesting. There was a, CNN had it that he was 89, another news organization had it as 87. And so I apologize. I guess he was 87. And so I apologize for getting that fact wrong. Thank you for correcting me. You can always instant message to the show, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Our must-read of the day is about the State of the Union, obviously. An interesting take from defense analysts, Pentagon analysts. Some Pentagon analysts saying that coming out and being honest and saying it's not okay for the president to exempt the Pentagon from his... I agree, his top-to-bottom budget review. I think we need a top-to-bottom budget review, but it's not a good idea for the president to exempt one of the biggest parts of the budget from that budget review. So check our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We're going to turn right now to some local news here on the Front Range. There's a question about whether the Front Range is taking too much water unnecessarily from the rest of Colorado. And joining us now, right now, are two guests. First and foremost, although I guess not foremost compared to the other guests, but first up, McChristy Adams of Earth Justice. And then also joining us is Fort Collins resident Gary Wachner about several different water projects on the Front Range. Wachner is director of the Save the Pooter Coalition and the state director of Clean Water Action. And, you know, this water issue is obviously a huge issue for everybody here in Colorado. I guess we'll start with McChristy. McChristy, tell us about the projects on the Front Range, your organization's concern with the projects. What is this issue all about? Is there really a threat that some of the rivers in Colorado are going to be sucked dry?
Yeah, David, absolutely there is that threat. We're concerned about a whole wave of these massive water projects that are going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars and essentially destroy several of our rivers, all in the name of water for the Front Range, but it's water that we can get in other ways. We can get it through conservation. So some of the projects that we're following and that we're most concerned about are, for example, the Windy Gap and the Moffett Project are both going to take water out of the Colorado River and the tributaries to the Colorado River. Windy Gap Project is going to take something like 15% to 20% of what's left of the Colorado to feed new reservoirs on the Front Range and to feed our water needs. You know, there's another project proposed by an individual named Aaron Million, who is proposing to take what's left of the Green River in western Wyoming and pipe it 580 miles across Wyoming and south to the Front Range. And again, that's going to cause some serious ecological damage to the Green River. And, you know, the river that is probably closest to Gary's heart is the Cashlapoota River. And there's a project proposed right now that would take, I think, 40% of the high flows left in the Pooter right before it goes through Fort Collins, you know, which is pretty much the heart of Fort Collins, that river. And, you know, again, for Front Range water needs, but there isn't actually a need yet. We don't need this water yet, and we certainly don't need it this way. There's lots of conservation that we can do first.
Gary Wachner, again, he's the director of Clean Water Action and the Save the Pooter Coalition. Gary, what would this water project that specifically hits the Pooter River, I mean, what would this mean for the average resident of Fort Collins if the Pooter River was, if this much water came out of the Pooter River?
Thanks, David. Yeah, currently about 60% of the water that comes down Pooter Canyon is diverted before it gets to downtown Fort Collins. If this project is built, which is called the Northern Integrated Supply Project, and it's proposed Glade Reservoir, it would take about 40% of what's left. So if the project was built, less than a quarter of the river's natural flow would still flow through Fort Collins. And that would have an extraordinary impact on the ecology of the river, on the recreational opportunities that the city and the community is trying to build around the river. Fort Collins has spent tens of millions of dollars. I know people have been up here buying open space and natural areas along the river. We built $10 million bike path up and down the river. And to drain the river, we think, just makes no economic sense. It makes no ecological sense, and it really makes no cultural sense for this community.
Again, on the line with us is McChristy Adams of Earth Justice and Gary Walkner of the Save the Poudre Coalition. We're talking about how the Front Range may be draining water from all over the region. And let me turn back to McChristy. You said that there's ways to avoid having to engage in some of these projects, that we can get some of the same bang for the buck through conservation. We hear the term conservation thrown around a lot. What does that exactly mean? Give us a tangible idea of what that would mean in these cases.
Okay. You know, there's lots of different options. There's retrofitting of indoor appliances, for example, or there's, you know, one of the biggest water uses on the Front Range and across the state of Colorado is our landscaping. You know, cities and towns on the Front Range can basically provide rebates for people who want to take out their water-hungry grass and replace it with drought-tolerant xeriscaping. And that could save us, a huge amount of water just by taking that simple step. And it's a step that other cities across the West and the Southwest have already taken.
Would that mean, would that affect... I mean, I guess everyone, when they hear water, right, they say, oh, my God, I'm going to get to a point where I turn on the sink or I turn on the shower and I'm not going to have any water. I mean, are those real fears? What does this problem, I'll throw it to Gary. Gary, what does this problem, what will it look like for the average person? I mean, I feel like these issues sometimes seem so, so intangible, so big, and that if people don't feel it in their real lives, it doesn't feel really, really real. What would all of this mean if there wasn't serious conservation efforts, or even if there were? What would those conservation efforts feel like for the average person?
And let me get right to the kind of heart of your question. A lot of people try to talk about the problem of water in Colorado as not being enough water, but the issue in Colorado isn't so much the quantity of water, it's about the price of water. And there is an extraordinary amount of water in Colorado. We are basically slathering the landscape with water to grow grass. About 30 to 40% of all the water that's used in the Front Range is used to keep the grass green in a place where it doesn't rain enough to keep the grass green. So Christy suggested there were a couple $100 million worth of projects there. It's really more around $2 to $3 billion worth of projects. And the vast majority of it is designed to keep the grass green along the growing areas of the Northern Front Range. And so one of the issues we keep trying to talk about is actually the true cost of water. Most of these projects are going to be heavily, if not completely, subsidized by taxpayers and ratepayers, and they are basically subsidizing the destruction of river systems to keep grass green along the Front Range of Colorado.
Well, I'll tell you something. When you put it like that, and I don't know if you can put a percentage on it, but I guess McChristy, maybe you can. I mean, do we know what percentage of this problem is actually due just to grass? Because while I love grass, and while a lot of people love grass is clearly less important to keep your grass green than keeping your sink running. I mean, what percentage, rough percentage of this problem is about just people wanting to keep their grass green for aesthetics?
Well, I think studies have shown it's something like 30 to 40% of our water use across the state of Colorado, and maybe Gary can correct me if I'm off by that. But it's
amount. You're exactly right. In Fort Collins, City of Fort Collins, I'm on the city's water board. It's about 35% of all the water is used in the summer to keep the grass.
I mean, that's really, and again, I'm not an agriculturalist here. I'm not a farmer, but is it right to say that a lot of the keeping the grass green is for the aesthetics?
Oh, it's absolutely 100% aesthetics.
So in other words, at 30 to 40% of the water problem that we're talking about here has to do with our society's desire to look out on our landscapes and see green grass.
That's it. And there are other issues, too, that you get at, too, in terms of land use planning and indoor water use. But green grass is one of the biggest culprits.
It's like really, when it's put in those terms, I really feel like that really gets through to people just how much of a self-inflicted problem this is, or at least a big part of the problem is so self-inflicted and so kind of, I don't know if you call it narcissistic, but at least it's about the optics as opposed to the actual physical need. Again, Earth Justice is McChristy Adams and Gary Walkner of the Save the Pooter Coalition. You can find their websites, earthjustice.org or savethepooter.org or cleanwateraction.org for more information. Thanks to you both for taking the time this morning, and keep up the great work. Keep us posted on it, okay?
Thank you, David.
All right, thanks. 8:49 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After a traffic update, a Colorado news update. Jared Polis doing some damn good things, if you ask me. Jared Polis using his platform to get back involved and try to reinvigorate the health care debate. He has sent a pretty tough letter over to his fellow Democrats in the House. Additionally, an update on the tax fight. Democrats fighting the good fight in the Colorado legislature on this tax fight, on the grocery tax. I'll have an update for you on that. And guess what? Robberies, these so-called spate of robberies at marijuana dispensaries. Guess what? The rate of robberies of marijuana dispensaries is way lower than the rate of robberies at banks. Should we move banks away from our schools? Food for thought after a traffic update with John Turk.
Yeah, I tell you what, Dave, it's just the whole fear factor they're playing in that thing. Marijuana is making your neighborhoods less safe.
Right. No, your bank is making your neighborhood less safe. And by the way, your bank is not only making your neighborhood less safe in terms of foreclosures, but literally physically less safe.
Yeah, exactly. How many? I think there was like in a 3-month period, there was like 20 to 30 bank robberies.
Exactly. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, yeah, that story is absolutely unbelievable. But traffic is starting to become more believable for us. Some jams in the normal spots. I-225, South Park Road to 25. Northbounders, though, hitting the brakes there. Right around the spillway up to 6th Avenue on I-25. Northbound, a struggle. Emerson Street to 6th Avenue. Southbounders, 48th past Spear. Auto pet accident, 8th and Lincoln. And a fender bender on the ramp to Peoria from westbound I-70. Further east, 2 jackknife semis and a rollover on I-70 near Deer Trail. Denver highways are wet in spots. Slushy, maybe a little more slick the further west and south you go of the metro. Forecast, partial afternoon clearing, but cloudy and cold. High of 34 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and dry. High near 42. Right now, 28 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Mickelson makes his PGA Tour season debut at Torrey Pines. Catch every round of action at the Farmers Insurance Open today, live at 12:30 and 6:30 p.m. Mountain, only on Golf Channel.
So the plan for the Republicans was to stop health care, because they knew if they stopped health care, that you and I would get pissed off, and that we would get pissed off at the Democrats, and that we would quit voting for the Democrats and the Republicans could take over. And so far, that plan is working. And so I just decided after my second drink that I wasn't going to be the tool for the Republican Party.
Mario Solis Marich, afternoons at 4.
I grew up saying I'd never work for the man, and I ain't going to work for the man.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo of your language software, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943.
Are you stuck in a mortgage you just can't afford? If you own a home and you're having trouble paying your mortgage payments or facing foreclosure, well, don't worry. You have many options, and we have the answers. The National Mortgage Relief Relief Center has established an open phone line for you to call. 800-948-5143. We now have the ability to stop foreclosure, forgive late payments and penalties, take your adjustable rate mortgage to a fixed rate mortgage, and reduce your monthly payment today. This is the mortgage relief plan that is sweeping across the nation. If you're one of the millions of Americans having trouble paying your mortgage, call today and speak to a qualified specialist for a five-minute quote and to see if you qualify at 800-948-5143. Don't wait another day and possibly lose your home. Stop the worry and fear about foreclosure and get your life back on track. Call 800-948-5143. That's 800-948-5143. Again, 800-948-5143.
Stay tuned for a free weight loss offer following this story.
I gained my weight after I had my first child, and within a year, I gained like 150 pounds. For 20 years, I tried everything, you know, from different diets, exercising. One time I seen a friend, and when I seen her, she was slim. So I said, how did you do that? You know, how did you get so skinny so fast? And she was like, right-size smoothies. So that's when I decided to try right-size smoothies. And when I first started, the first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time I hit a year, I lost 143 pounds. When I look in the mirror, I see a beautiful person. I love the Right Size Smoothies. It's the best thing that happened to me.
If you would like to try Right Size Smoothies for free, call now for a free two-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-762-9697.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test, and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-762-9697. That's 1-800-762-9697.
855 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're still getting your instant messages, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Check out the must-read of the day. This is from Chuck. Dave, you're normally a smart person, but I think you missed the global picture of Obama's State of the Union speech. He gave the most centrist speech of any president I ever heard. He spoke of tax cuts, offshore drilling, nuclear power. How much in the middle do the Republicans want? The Democrats need to help Obama by making this point clear. Left would have been single payer and right would have been buying across state lines. The bill we have is about in the middle as anyone could be. But the right has made America believe it is progressive because the Democrats don't tell it like it is. Chuck, I think you've got it way wrong. If you are looking for me to cheer on President Obama handing over a blank check to the insurance and drug companies, if you are looking for me or this morning show to applaud him pushing more oil and gas drilling and nuclear power and new capital gains tax cuts, then you should be listening to 850 KOA. That's a hard right corporate agenda. That's not in the center. And if you are looking for me to applaud that, then you're listening to the wrong station. Change the damn channel. A little local news here that I promised. Denver pot shops robbery rate lower than banks. A Denver Police Department analysis estimates that medical marijuana dispensaries in the city were robbed or burglarized at a lower rate last year than either banks or liquor stores. You don't really hear that. Every time there's something at a pot dispensary, you hear that the pot dispensaries are the dangers, not the banks or liquor stores. What do you know? It's the other way around. Denver Post says business groups are venting at a lengthy hearings on eliminating state tax breaks. Those tax loopholes, we'll be talking to Governor Ritter about that tomorrow. And Jared Polis sending a letter to the Senate and the House demanding that the public option be added back into the health care bill. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's leadership. Using your platform to make concrete demands on behalf of what polls show the public wants.
It's not that hard, right? It's not that difficult. Asking for that from our elected leadership is not whining or complaining. It's the most bare minimum thing we should expect in a democracy. Now, I know there are a lot of zombies out there who say that it's our job as citizens to simply cheer on anybody with a D behind their name, regardless of what they're doing. But here's a very good example in our state, in Colorado, Jared Polis, who I've been a critic of on some other issues as well. Here's Jared Polis doing the bare minimum. That's worthy of saying good job. That's what political leadership looks like. And we should applaud him, and we should ask for it from all of our leaders in Congress. Up next, Susan Green of the Denver Post.
There are now more cell phones that stream AM 760. Just go to am760.net and download the app for free. AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. Streaming live on your cell phone and on am760.net.
Senator Michael Bennett is facing a tough choice. There's pressure in Washington to give up the fight to solve global warming. Lobbyists are whispering that it's too hard, that Congress should pass the kind of energy bill we had under George Bush, one that doesn't put a cap on global warming pollution. But this may be the last chance in a generation to solve the climate crisis. We have, for now, enough pro-environment senators of both parties to pass a real limit on global warming pollution. We only need the will to get it done. Scientists tell us we must act now. Senator Bennett, oppose a George Bush-style energy bill. Fight for a real limit on global warming pollution. Fight for a better future for our children and grandchildren. Sponsored by Environmental Defense Action Fund.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. Now it's off to sell the message. President Obama and Vice President Biden will be in Tampa for a town meeting within the next 2 hours, at which they will press the administration's revamped agenda outlined in the State of the Union address. Mr. Obama will use the occasion to announce a plan to release $8 billion for high-speed rail projects. One of those projects, says CBS News correspondent Peter King, would link two Central Florida key cities.
Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer was headed to Tampa on I-4 at about 70 miles an hour. That's not always the case.
Could have the good fortune of making it between Orlando and Tampa in about an hour and 10 minutes, or you could have the misfortune of having a three-hour drive.
High-speed rail could alleviate that problem and create 23,000 jobs at a crucial time for Central Florida.
We're going to take a hit in the space industry over here.
When NASA retires the space shuttle, he says perhaps some of those high-tech jobs will wind up in high-speed rail. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Better news from Detroit. Ford says in 2009 it posted its first year in the black since 2005. Reporter Jeff Gilbert says the automaker logged a profit of $2.7 billion.
Ford ending the year on a strong note, making money all around the world in the fourth quarter. CEO Alan Mulally, who's now predicting a 2010 profit as well, says this is about more than just cutting the budget.
We actually, during the fourth quarter, grew the business on sales, on revenue.
Mulally says Ford is targeting new incentives to Toyota owners because Ford now considers Toyota their direct competition.
I'm Steve Kaith, and Ford in China has stopped production of some vehicles with the same kind of faulty gas pedals that are plaguing millions of Toyotas that have been recalled or held on sales lots. Toyota's yet to announce a fix, and auto analyst Rebecca Lindland says
this could be a very long, drawn-out process for Toyota.
One report says the pedal maker has done a redesign and has tested a new pedal. Nick?
How do the nation's nursing homes rate when it comes to the quality of their care? A study done by USA Today's found that 1 in 5 received consistently poor scores. Janet Wells with the National Citizens Coalition for Nursing Home Reform says it's not surprising given the pressure on staff.
The vast majority of nursing homes don't have enough nurses and nursing assistants to provide even the basic level of care that people need.
Well, a special one-day conference on the future of Afghanistan is wrapping up in London. CBS News reporter Larry Miller. is covering.
Afghan President Karzai announced a new Reconciliation and Reintegration Council to reach out to those he called our disenchanted brothers to get a dialogue going with Taliban and insurgents who can be persuaded to lay down their arms and take part in the political process. There's a new fund designed to twist their arms with a bit of financial encouragement.
And also at the conference, Afghan President Karzai renewed a promise to crack down on corruption. Checking stocks at this hour, the Dow down 103 points, the NASDAQ off 34. This is CBS News.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE-certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes?
Yes.
Tires?
Yep.
Struts?
Of course.
Oil changes?
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod?
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. Plus, come in now through February 7th and get a Valvoline oil change for only $19.99 with no hidden fees. That's right, just $19.99. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Life well spent.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. The reviews are in for President Obama's first State of the Union speech. No surprise, they fall along party lines in Colorado.
There were just not enough pro-growth policies. What he needs to do is bring Republicans into this discussion, and let's have a bipartisan approach to policy.
That's Colorado Republican Congressman Mike Kaufman. We get the other side from Congressman Ed Perlmutter.
He reminded people that he inherited two wars, tax cuts that led to the greatest deficit in the history of this country, $1.4 trillion when he took over. At the same time, he's trying to get people back to work. That's a tough problem to solve.
Last night's speech was the first State of the Union address for President Obama. A woman at the Winter X Games in Aspen is trying to break a world record before competition even starts today. Dagny McKinley of Steamboat Springs is trying to set a Guinness World Record for the most hugs given in a 24-hour period. In sports, the Nuggets continued their role last night in Houston. The win over the Rockets gives them 8 wins in a row now. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where speeds are getting back to normal as you're out and about. Southbound is on I-25 downtown. You're busy, but not slow. Same deal as you're traveling westbound on 36. Maybe some busy pockets, but no serious delays. Surface street accidents. We've got crashes 8th and Lincoln, as well as on the ramp to Peoria from westbound I-70. One just coming in downtown, westbound Colfax at Federal. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a high in the mid to upper 30s. Currently it's cloudy. Light drizzle coming down in spots and 29 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Join the winter driving. It's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
The Progressive Talk, still getting your instant messages here. And instant messages, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. This is from Pat. This is a good piece of advice. David, please rethink your inclination of suggesting that folks who disagree with you should find another radio program. We, or at least I, want everyone to listen to Progressive Radio. They might actually learn something and grow their opinions. Pat, that's good advice. The only thing is, I don't want people who don't agree with me to turn the channel. I want, if you're expecting me, if you want, if you desire, if it is your need to hear a host simply say that everything that every Democrat does is awesome, then you're probably listening to the wrong radio station. Or at least the wrong radio program. I can't speak for the whole station. So if you disagree with me, I like when people listen and they disagree. But if you want somebody to be a water carrier, that's not going to be me. Turning to more local news here, as promised, joining us now is Denver Post columnist Susan Green. She had a column that that I thought was really interesting and disturbing over, I guess it was on Monday. It was called, I guess it was Sunday. The headline was, Wrong Folks Still Jailed, Go Figure. It's about mistaken identity arrests here in Denver. And I read this, and Turk was telling us about previously about how he got basically arrested on kind of a wrong charge. This is even different. This is even more ridiculous. You get arrested and detained just because you may share a name that is the same or similar to the real person that is the suspect of police. Susan Green wrote about this in her column as she joins us now. Thanks for taking the time this morning. Susan, tell us how big a problem this is.
It's unclear because the city really won't give us records in response to our inquiries about the scope, which they're fully capable of doing on their very expensive computer systems that we pay for. But I've done freedom of information requests and have been denied by the city, so I'm fighting that right now. And it's unclear. I don't think it's a problem that is just specific to Denver. I think it happens in lots of places, and I think it generally doesn't get reported, largely because a lot of the people who get snarled up in it are undocumented immigrants.
You have some pretty tough words here in specific for the Hickenlooper administration. I'm reading from your column. You said the mayor, who now wants to be governor, has been all too tolerant of his safety department, especially his police ID bureau, and its continuing failure to make sure it locks up the right people. His office questions the scale of the problem, arguing, quote, there is no way to know without going through each case how many of the cases in the documents involve actual ID problems that involve a deputy or a court mistake. Hickenlooper is being suckered, you say, by safety officials who blame errors on the fact that some arrestees, big shock, lie about their identities. I mean, if John Hickenlooper wanted to, if he decided today that he wanted to find out the scope of this problem, or at least let you find out the scope of this problem, could he?
Absolutely. It just takes search using the right terms in the computer, you know, mistaken identity, wrong suspect. It would take a little digging. And, you know, saying that because some people in prison or in jail lie about their identity doesn't excuse the fact that they're going out and snatching the wrong people. I mean, they have means to figure this out. They have fingerprinting. They can compare photos of people. I mean, they've brought in people who look nothing like the people they're actually looking for. They've brought in live people for people who are actually dead. They've brought in black people for people who are white, a woman for a man for a woman, people whose names have no resemblance to the people they're looking for. I mean, it's a question of just common sense. Check the fingerprints. We pay for expensive equipment that can help them check that. Check IDs. Listen to people. You know, there was one guy I wrote about in that column, and I've written about him before, who was in for a week before he had even a hearing in court. I mean, that's as blatantly unconstitutional as you get. There's someone else in there for 4 months who kept saying, you've got the wrong person, you've got the wrong person, and they just wouldn't let the guy out. They wouldn't stop and figure the whole thing out. And, I mean, when will people get angry about this?
Again, online with us, Susan Green, the Denver Post columnist, her column linked on our website at am760.net. Wrong Folks Are Still Jailed, Go Figure is the headline. It's about the Denver Municipal Police locking up people on mistaken identity. They think they've got, or at least they say they think they've got the right person, and then they don't, and these people are detained. Before we get into the bigger implications of this, what do you think John Hickenlooper's, the mayor, what do you think his motivation is to not allow journalists
or not have his own city auditors look at what's going on. I mean, is it, why does he want to keep this secret? Is it he wants to prevent political embarrassment? What is it?
Yeah, well, first of all, that question assumes he's on top of this, and I really don't think he's the kind of manager, frankly, of a city or mayor of a city who really is on top of this. I think he's sort of had other people handle it, and they've messed it up. And you know, more broadly, why his administration wouldn't have addressed it, and this is, you know, 2-3 years after they've promised to address it. I mean, I keep writing these columns. They keep being sued. There's a huge lawsuit brought by on behalf of several people, victims of this, a sort of rainbow coalition of mistaken identity victims brought by the ACLU. They've settled out other lawsuits and in writing promised to fix it. And the reason why they haven't is, I think, that the Hickenlooper, like many mayors before him and like many mayors in other cities, is cowed by his safety department. I think, you know, there is a fear of rocking the boat. It's incredibly embarrassing to both the sheriff and the police, especially the police ID bureau. And I think he's come down nearly hard enough on them.
In the broader sense, there has been questions. There have been questions about the Bush administration, the Obama administration, their policies of detainment without charge. I wonder if you think that this has this problem has been at least allowed to fester. I guess inadvertently, although maybe there's more than just inadvertently, but that if it's been allowed to fester in part because there's sort of this culture growing up now where we say, look, you know, people have constitutional rights, but constitutional, schmonstitutional, you know, it's like not really that big a deal anymore. And especially if we're dealing, if a lot of the, as you say, a lot of the people who have been victims of this are minorities, are the people who government doesn't usually pay attention to. I mean, is there any credibility to the idea that this is just a reflection of a bigger culture that seems to not care as much anymore about basic constitutional rights for everybody and especially, you know, disenfranchised populations?
Yeah, yes, for sure. I think it's also a symptom of, you know, a prison industrial complex that is way too large. I think, you know, we're just getting ready as a city to open up a new jail and a new courthouse and, you know, in this economy, you know, we've been opening up prisons, you know, left and right over the last decade. I think people are fairly comfortable with the sort of huge incarceration rates we have. I think, yes, there's that sort of racial and immigrant factor here. And maybe even more so, there is a level of comfort with government mistakes that, I really don't understand. I mean, this is like saying, oh, damn, you know, I brought the wrong baby home from the hospital.
Right.
I mean, why is it any different? You know, whether, and let me be clear here. I mean, if it makes anybody feel better, and it really shouldn't, some of these people are, you know, white middle class. There's a woman in Sterling who is, I think, a nurse's aide and a mom. She has no criminal record. She was taking a shower one day, and on a mistaken warrant for someone with a similar name, literally, you know, got these knocks on the doors by police. She got snatched out of her house in Sterling and taken to Denver. And people may think, you know, I'm over-exaggerating this or she's over-exaggerating it. I'm not. She's not. It's all in writing. And she's actually settled out with the city. So, you know, that happened. And if that doesn't disturb people, I don't know what does.
Again, I'm live with Susan Green of the Denver Post, her column linked on our website. And let me just ask you one final question in the context of the gubernatorial race. John Hickenlooper is now running for governor. Bill Ritter, a lot of people have been critics of him on various things. One of the things I think he's actually gotten right, or at least taken a step in the right direction, whether by virtue of his own principles or whether because he's been forced by the budget, he has talked about, or nibbled at the edges at least, of criminal justice reform. He's talked about early release for nonviolent offenders. He's talked about, at least rhetorically, about how the prison industrial complex is eating up so much more of our budget. I wonder if John Hickenlooper, if in this story about his municipal leadership and his refusal or failure to take on or question or challenge the status quo of the prison industrial complex, of law enforcement. I wonder if that signals, if you believe that signals as governor, that he wouldn't be as eager or as willing to take on those kinds of issues, even as Governor Ritter has been, and Governor Ritter has basically done it in a good way, but fairly minimally.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. You know, here we have sort of Lyle Lovett running for governor, you know. I mean, we've got John Hickenlooper, who has no law enforcement experience and, you know, is from a big city and is, I think, suspect to some outstaters or rural folks just by those credentials. And so, yeah, I think he needs, or probably feels he needs, to look tough on crime. And so I think you're right. That's exactly right. Back to Ritter. You know, that is Ritter's vocation. Ritter came from a very long and, most would say, fairly well-respected career as prosecutor. Ritter has talked a lot about sentencing reform. He formed a commission fairly early on to deal with sentencing reform. It's done very little so far. I think Ritter has been, you know, who doesn't have to sort of protect his image as a law and order Democrat or governor, has done very little. And frankly, I would say that Hickenlooper, I would expect Hickenlooper, even though he absolutely needs to address these issues because we have prison overcrowding and budget crises, and one of the easiest ways to cut that is to just get people out of prison and on probation and back in the workforce and supporting their families, but I would expect Hickenlooper not to do that for fear of not looking tough enough on crime.
Yeah, and I think that's a real problem because the prison industrial complex is such a, just at a budgetary level, just a bigger and bigger piece of the state budget at a time of huge deficits. Susan Green, again, her column, Wrong Folks Still Jailed. It's up on our website, linked on our website, am760.net. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning, Susan.
You're welcome, David.
Good talking to you. 919 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'll throw it out to folks listening, 303-713-7600. Do you think that John Hickenlooper's refusal to deal with this problem of arrests on mistaken identity charges suggests that he will not be, as governor, a serious reformer of the prison industrial complex? Maybe you think he shouldn't be a serious reformer of the prison industrial complex. 303-713-7600 is the number. Susan Green's column linked on our website, so if you want to read it, check it out there. Do you think this is a problem, as big a problem as Susan Green is saying? Do you fear this problem of mistaken identity arrests? I think it's a pretty big problem. And I should ask this. Do you think it's a product of a culture now in our politics that says constitutional rights are really not important anymore for accused, for the accused, or the misaccused in this case? Is this a local product of a political culture that says defendant rights just don't matter anymore, especially in the post 9/11 era, where we've seen them thrown out without any thought whatsoever? 303-713-7600. If you want to weigh in on the State of the Union as well, feel free. 303-713-7600. Up next, a couple more local stories from The Wire I want to fill you in on, including Nancy Pelosi saying she's cool to Obama's proposal to freeze only non-defense spending. She wants to freeze some defense spending, and good for her. That's exactly right. It's exactly what she should be doing. And Hillary Clinton suggests she may only be a one-term Secretary of State. What's that about? All that after a traffic update with John Turk.
New crash westbound Colfax around Federal. That's messing things up just a little bit west of downtown. Also, still working this major accident out on the east end of Aurora. Two jackknife semis and a rollover still sitting there on I-70 near Deer Trail, catching some looks both directions of the highway. Normal jams northbound I-25, Lincoln to 6th Avenue. Also heavy in Westminster, Boulder area from westbound 36, Flatiron Circle to McCaslin. forecast, light snow showers will taper off early this morning and early this afternoon. Could even see some sun today. Highs going to be in the low to mid-30s. Right now, 29 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Right.
When I went to buy and build, I was blown away by their selection and pricing. We were looking for cabinets, and the ones we looked at were 10 times lower than the ones at big box stores. Everything I looked at astounded me. Hardwood flooring, tile, beautiful vessel sinks, faucets, plumbing fixtures, granite, at a fraction of the cost of anywhere else I've ever looked. Toilets under $100 that sell elsewhere for $300. Go ahead, shop around. But if you don't go to buy and build, you're nuts. 4800 Washington Street in Denver. 303-295-6022 or buyandbuild.net.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Factors DVD. The number to call is 1-800-300-5798. During the Great Depression, people kept precious metals and gold coins tucked away. No one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. Nowadays, most of us have never seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a secret hoard of gleaming U.S. gold coins was discovered, all uncirculated and minted between 1866 and 1933. The New York Mint will be releasing these coins to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
Getting your instant messages here still, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. This is a good example of somebody who meets Jonathan Swift's, his old adage, there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. This is from Ken. Ken says, I believe you and all the defense analysts need to go back and read Obama's actual words. He exempted spending related to our national security. I took this to mean homeland security and troops in the field. I did not assume he meant there's no waste in the Pentagon budget. Well, I have no idea if he thinks there's no waste or not. What I do know is that 2 days ago, he said the Pentagon as a whole is exempted from spending cuts. Additionally, I also know, and we've mentioned it repeatedly on this station, that his defense secretary, on orders from the president, met with defense contractors to tell them that the Obama administration would continue increasing the Pentagon's budget. So, Ken, as I said, there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. You can say I'm giving Obama hell, but I'll just quote Harry Truman and say, as what Harry Truman said, they said I was giving him hell, I was just telling the truth, and they call it hell. Let's go to the phones. Take a call here. Leslie and Greeley. Leslie, you're on AM760. Hello, Leslie.
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to comment a bit on the tickets business of unpaid tickets and being thrown in jail. This has been going on for a very long time. I teach at UNC, and two of my students, both black males, one in 1996 was thrown in jail overnight for not having paid tickets in Denver, and it came out later that they were all paid. Their computer was not updated. This was 96, and he very nearly missed his graduation recital because of it. Another one of my students was thrown in jail on the way to a choir concert in his tuxedo for unpaid tickets, kept overnight. He missed the choir concert, which is an automatic F, and those tickets had also been paid. That was from Colorado Springs. Now you can think
that's incredible.
You can think of this as a profiling issue, but I think more so it speaks to the incompetence of the computer system in Denver and the Springs.
That is really, really incredible. It's a troubling story.
And I've presented this to the city council 5 years ago when we had big things in Greeley about profiling. But
it's,
nothing was ever done.
That's a really, really great. And Turk, John Turk, told us his story about a similar situation. And it's you know, look, the use and overuse of police force is a very serious issue. It gets very little coverage. And I think both what you're talking about and what Susan Green talked about is worthy of some serious attention. Unfortunately, a lot of politicians don't want to even question the law enforcement apparatus. And in fact, the law enforcement apparatus on the issue of marijuana is now trying to bully a lot of politicians.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something, it's all part of the same situation, right? It's all part of politicians. And I'll even broaden it out because I'm writing about this in my book. It's all also a part of politicians at the national level always deferring to military leadership, right? It's this whole idea that what politicians should do is simply be yes men for people in our society, the officials in our society with guns. That's the way to show that you're strong. And that's a real problem, because one of the great things about our country is supposed to be basic civil liberties, right? Based that we are a country whose constitution is about protecting people's basic civil rights. And this is a case where, and we are living in an era, I think, where that has been completely, completely forgotten. Hey, Leslie, thanks for the call. Really appreciate
okay.
it.
Bye.
I just want to update folks also on these two stories that I promised to update you on. Hillary Clinton saying that she may be only a one-term Secretary of State. ABC News reports that in an interview aired this evening, Clinton suggested she's not interested in serving more than 4 years should President Obama win a second term. It's pretty, I don't know, I don't even know what to make of that. And Nancy Pelosi, this is in the Politico, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that defense spending should not be exempt from President Obama's proposal for a three-year freeze on federal spending, which is good because, of course, we were reminded by Congressman Perlmutter that these spending decisions, the president can want and ask for all that he wants, but the House gets to decide. So it's pretty good that the House Speaker is out there saying that, you know what, if we want to freeze spending, let's put it all on the table. We'll go to the phones. We'll go to Darren in Fort Collins. Darren, you're on AM 760.
Hey, how you doing today?
All right, man.
Well, you know, last night I was just telling John that I listened to it on the radio for the first time. You know, I've been an avid supporter of Obama, and, you know, he makes mistakes, and I get upset. Last night I thought it was really interesting because I could hear so many boos in the crowd. Sometimes you'd get it sounded like it was a unanimous ovation, but that one guy that I heard earlier, he does sound like he's really trying to be right in the middle. And one of the things he said that kind of got me is, you know, I'm making the hard decisions. I'm not trying to have anybody like me.
Yeah, well, the problem is, I mean, I don't see him trying to make any hard decisions. There's a difference between making hard decisions and being in the middle, and being in the middle, the quote-unquote middle, by virtue of deciding not to make any decisions. I mean, what politically difficult decision has been made? Well, I mean, I can give you one. I can give you one. He decided to push forward a minuscule tax on banks. That's tough. That is tough. Okay, deciding to create a commission to slash Social Security and Medicare, that's not tough. That's saying I want somebody else to cut Social Security and Medicare for me.
Right.
Go ahead.
What I saw as far as tough, the toughest political decision is he's trying to pander to the Republicans. That's a pretty tough decision when all of his base is mad at him about it. Pretty tough decision. Not necessarily the smartest. I'd still say forget him. Leave them behind if they don't want to help make this country better.
Well, that's interesting. I've never heard it said that it's tough to pander to the right. I mean, I would say that is a politically stupid, but in the short term, the kind of conventional wisdom, right? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that I think tough decisions are when you say, look, there's a conventional wisdom in Washington, and then there's what the public wants. And it's very difficult to take on the manufactured Washington conventional wisdom, the conventional wisdom manufactured by the corporate media and by corporate lobbyists. It's very difficult to take on the Washington status quo. And I don't see Obama, in most cases, deciding to do that. I think he could. I think he'd be really effective if he did. I think he's in a better position than any president in contemporary history to do just that. I just haven't seen him do it. And when he does, I'll be the first person out there saying, right on, man.
Oh, I know you will. I do have one question for you.
Go ahead.
And I don't know if it got abolished or not, but is that, and I haven't heard it at all on anybody talking to me, is that whole thing that Bush put through, the line item veto, is that still...
No, there is no line. It was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. There is no line item veto. No, there's not a line item veto. And he, you know, him threatening to veto. I mean, what was amazing about his threat to veto spending bills? Remember, this is a Democrat threatening to veto bills funding, let's say, the Labor or Health and Human Services or Housing Department, if they spend more money on basic social safety net services. I mean, to get your mind around that, it's like I thought that's what George Bush did, right? I thought George Bush threatens to veto spending bills on basic social safety net stuff, not a Democratic president with one of the biggest congressional majorities in contemporary history. And this is what I'm talking about. This is the paradigm shift that we need to make happen, where that is just not acceptable. And it's a tough road to get there. I'm not sure we're getting there, but I know it's important for us to at least acknowledge that this is the paradigm that we're living in right now, and it's one that needs to be changed. Hey, thanks for the call, man. 9:33 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What happened in Oregon 2 days ago? Yes, one of the swingiest of swing states, political swing states.
Hey, easy.
No, I mean in a good way.
Oh, I thought you were talking about swingers.
No. I mean, like, politically swing state.
I know.
Like a purple state.
I was just being juvenile.
You were being juvenile. As usual. That's what we were here for.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What happened in Oregon, where one of the swingiest of swing states voted for a tax increase on the wealthy and voted to raise its corporate tax? Is this a harbinger of tax fights to come? It's a pretty big story, got kind of buried in this week's news. We're going to be joined by the guy who ran the two ballot initiatives after traffic update with Juvenile Turf.
You got it, Sensei Sirota. Got a couple crashes out there to avoid. Eastbound 6th Avenue around Galapago. Also seeing one at westbound Colfax at Federal. And foggy conditions out on the west end. It's basically around I-70 and C-470, where that all comes together near Golden. Chain laws in effect, eastbound I-70 at the Eisenhower Tunnel, and both directions over Loveland Pass. There are some slippery spots around the metro, especially on the west end and south end. Your forecast, partial afternoon clearing, but cloudy and cold. High around 34 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and dry, high of 42. Right now, 29 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Head to your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer during their Colorado Snow Days and get a great price on one of 19 Mercedes-Benz 4MATIC all-wheel drive models, including the road-gripping C-Class 4MATIC. But hurry, these snow days won't be around forever.
Want to add value to your home, lower your energy bills, and preserve the environment? Best Way Insulation is a Colorado-owned company that uses blown-in insulation to reduce your energy usage. Best Way Insulation was trusted with re-insulating the governor's mansion and will provide the same great service to AM 760 listeners. Ask the experts at Best Way Insulation about federal tax credits and energy company rebates available to customers in Colorado. Go to bestwayinsulation.com to go green and save green. That's bestwayinsulation.com.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Ending it. Here, take a bill.
Oh, actually, that didn't seem to hurt him at all.
No, we do this all the time.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Now, anywhere cough and cold strikes, Pure Robitussin Relief is ready to go anywhere you go. Introducing new Robitussin to go. The cough and cold symptom relief you want in a neat little single-dose spoon that goes anywhere. New Robitussin to go. The medicine has already been dissolved, ready for your body to take in. Anytime, anywhere. New Robitussin to go. Pure Robitussin relief to go.
Use as directed. Medicine works over time.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-449-6151. 1-800-449-6151. 1-800-449-6151.
My husband's always had dark circles under his eyes. He blames his dad for that. But then his work stress and schedule made them even more noticeable. To add to the problem, he didn't want to use some fancy eye cream made for women. That's why I got him Hydralyze.
Hydralyze is a scientific breakthrough that isn't fancy, it's effective. Developed by a plastic surgeon, Hydralyze visibly erases dark circles and bags, whether they're due to heredity, aging, or fatigue. If the man in your life has dark under-eye circles or bags, do him a favor and call in the next 10 minutes for a free trial of Hydralyze. The number is 1-800-400-5797.
My husband didn't think he had any options. Now he has the solution.
Men and women who've tried clinically proven Hydralyze are amazed at the dramatic results. If you know someone suffering from dark under-eye circles and bags, call in the next 10 minutes for a risk-free trial of Hydralyze. That's a free trial at 1-800-400-5797. 1-800-400-5797.
.38 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What happened in Oregon this week? A fantastic, fantastic progressive win. Really, it's an inspiring win. I have my my blog post of the day up at openleft.com is about this, and it should be inspiring and instructive to us here in Colorado. Two major tax ballot initiatives passed this week in Oregon, again, a swing state, not completely dissimilar to Colorado. Every state's different, but Oregon is a Democratic, or at least recently has been a Democratic trending state, but is clearly a swing state. And this swing state that the parties contest every year very, very closely, passed two ballot initiatives raising taxes. One ballot initiative raised taxes on the wealthy. Another ballot initiative raised Oregon's corporate tax. Is it a precursor to tax fights that may happen all across the country? Joining us now is Kevin Looper. He was the campaign director for Vote Yes for Oregon. Kevin, congratulations on the win. For people who don't know about Oregon, before we get into what the ballot initiatives did, you know, there's a lot of discussion about, well, is Oregon really a swing state? Is it, you know, how is it? Isn't it just a Democratic state because Democrats have won there and there are liberals in Portland? Just tell us, for listeners who don't know about Oregon, what your view of the of Oregon is on the, I guess, left right. Is it a swing state? Is it a safe state? Kind of continuum.
Thanks so much, by the way, on the congratulations. We're certainly still living in a great state here of excitement around it. But in terms of Oregon, you know, it's funny. It's a tale of two states. Electorally, you can argue that it's trending blue. It was one of the closest swing states in the country as recently as 2000. But there's been a lot more voter registration among the youth in the state that has brought the candidate side of the equation more towards the blue. But in terms of taxes, boy, I have to tell you, this has been a very red state. Since 1930, there has been no statewide tax measure that has succeeded in the state. Voters have put not one but two limitations into the Constitution. One, a unique kicker law that says if there's revenue received by the state in excess of projections, that they go back to the voters. And the other, saying that there's limitations on property taxes. Nine times in the past, there's been the attempt to create a sales tax that voters have rejected each and every time. So When we entered into this campaign, I don't think I'm exaggerating in saying that pretty much nobody thought we could win it.
And you did win it. You won it, well, I guess the final count was about 53 or 54% on both of these initiatives. And again, for folks just tuning in on the line with us is Kevin Looper. He was the campaign director for a series of ballot initiatives in the swing state of Oregon, not too dissimilar from Colorado. Ballot initiatives that this week won to raise taxes, one on wealthy people, I guess was an income tax, and then there was also a corporate tax measure that also won. Do you think, well, I guess first and foremost, tell us exactly what these ballot initiatives did, and then tell us why you think even though you were facing, as you said, an uphill fight, why they won this year?
Well, two things. First of all, the first measure raised taxes on households above $250,000 or individuals who made more than $125,000 by 1.8% on the income above those amounts. So it didn't touch any income prior up to $125,000 for an individual or $250,000 for a household. The second one was changing the Oregon corporate minimum, which, believe it or not, was $10, and two-thirds of Oregon corporations were paying $10 in income taxes because we have been such a traditionally low-tax state, the lowest business taxes absolutely on the West Coast. And it also increased the corporate profits tax by 1% from 6.6 to 7.6%. So it on both of these measures, the argument that was made was similar. It was we've got to protect the middle class. It's not fair being the big burden of the class on families who are going to get by, while those who can't afford more are necessary.
Yes, tonight an editorial in the Portland Oregonian, and I read the Oregonian in my column runs every week. There's a website in the paper most weeks, and I read it to get a sense of what's going on. And I haven't catch Phil Knight's editorial. There's an example of some people that feel into this measure brought it up. And he said this was going to stifle job growth in a state already struggling with unemployment. Why do you disagree with that? And I guess politically, how did you deal with that criticism?
Well, it's funny. The opposition campaign, which was led by a couple of corporate lobbyists, called themselves Oregonians against job-killing taxes. They tried to cloak themselves in terms of, you know, the traditional sort of right-wing astroturf. They didn't have a lot of actual grassroots support, but they sure tried to pretend like it. And their big claim was this was going to put everybody out of work in Oregon because you can't tax businesses without them cutting jobs, especially in the middle of a recession. And our claim on this was first to go to the facts and show that Oregon was one of the lowest tax business states, and the taxes on businesses were one of the lowest here in the West Coast. And in fact, at the end of this, we will go from being 48th in the country in business taxes to 46th. So one could argue that there could have been more put into this package and probably still succeeded. But nonetheless, we first started by talking about the facts here and saying it was reasonable. And then, again, AJ said, must make choices that are in the middle of a recession, and ludicrous talk about fixed place that we're going to bring us to. And overall, many strong voters said that I'm a person. Most of the we can do is you're preparing for the future, and that's our communication about protecting vital services and about the question of the chances of peace.
Again, online with us is Kevin Burke, who ran the campaign vote, yes, or in this campaign, a really big progressive end vision and focus for progressive all professionals coming into this human. Passing a swing state, a very tax state, historically passing a dollar to raise income taxes and people from the public.
So this sort of connection with the politics of Texas on its head. And I wonder, do you think, well, I mean, what happens with these talent issues? Was it a momentary, was a shift? Long come, maybe it was a shift. I mean, what do you attribute the Oregon's been changing tax day, like Colorado's been changing tax day? What do you attribute this vote to? I mean, you talked about what campaign was about. But I guess I'm guessing the campaign's half impact has been trying to make the same argument. What was the tipping point this year as opposed to all those other years?
Well, the turning point in this campaign actually happened in the legislature when they enacted these taxes, because we had these ballot measures because the corporate lobbyists referred them directly to the voters. But in the legislature, there was a critical moment when, on one hand, there was a lot of pressure from the advocacy groups to try to protect schools and services. And on the other, legislators had corporate lobbyists saying, if you come after us, we will throw everything but the kitchen sink at you and we will end your careers. And when they did that, the pressure started to look like there was going to be compromise proposals around raising taxes just a little bit on everybody. And that is the way that we have mostly seen tax votes go in Oregon. Is whether it's a sales tax or some income tax surcharge, temporary or otherwise, the case has been made, we're all in this together, and therefore we need to do just a little bit more in order to get us by. And I think the secret here was progressives having the courage, and it was a great deal of courage on behalf of the Democratic legislature here, to say, you know what, we're going to stand up to the corporate lobbyists, we're going to do what's right, and we're going to put ourselves on the side of the middle class, and we're going to drive a wedge between some of that cynicism out there around taxes by being able to tell people, you know what, we're not going to ask you and your family to pay a dollar more. We know you're just trying to get by. We know you're already shouldering a large bit of the tax burden. We're going to ask those who can afford to pay more to do so, in order to preserve the things that we all need to get by.
Yeah, and I got to tell you something. It is just so it's so analogous to what's going on here in Colorado. We've got this situation in the legislature where our governor is proposing to get rid of special tax exemptions, just a couple of special tax exemptions to deal with a $1.3 billion budget shortfall. And you've got corporate lobbyists, I kid you not, going to the legislature and saying, no, replace that bill with a bill to enact a grocery sales tax. So that it sounds like exactly the same kind of politics that have been happening in Oregon for years. Basically saying, instead of making the tax system fair and making us pay in a little bit more, we should make people at the lowest end of the income ladder pay more to deal with this problem. And it looks like Oregon, in a state just as anti-tax, if not more anti-tax than Colorado, has reached a tipping point. Really, congratulations on such a big win. Really, you guys did a fantastic job, and I really hope it's an inspiration to people here in Colorado and to states all across the country. You did really, really well. Thanks for taking the time this morning, Kevin.
Absolutely.
Good talking to you. Okay. That was Kevin Looper. Again, the big progressive win this week. You probably didn't hear much about it, and there hasn't been much good progressive news in the news lately. But Oregon, one of the nation's most anti-tax states in the country, a political swing state much like Colorado, passed these ballot measures to raise taxes on the super wealthy in its state in order to preserve major cuts to social services. Can we do it here in Colorado? I hope it's an inspiration. You can find, by the way, more about that campaign that they ran at voteyesfororegon.org. After the break, news of the weird. Stick around after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Here's for the lady that called in and hung up on me because I mispronounced a street name. A last traffic report. I was thinking of the Galapagos Islands, and every time I see Galapago come up on the board, I think of Galapagos Islands.
I got to tell you, I love our audience. I really do. And one of the things I love about them, they listen carefully. They listen hard, intensely, man.
Well, you know, like you could say, hey, listen, you messed it up, John. Here's how it's pronounced. And staying, I've never seen a street called Galapagos. Lady, stick it. That's for you. Stick it. Seriously. Only crash around the metro right now, westbound Colfax at Federal. That's hampering things. I also have a medical emergency eastbound side of Colfax there around Downing. Foggy conditions on I-70 near C-470. Also some slippery conditions in the high country. Chain laws in effect eastbound I-70 at the Eisenhower Tunnel. Also, both directions for those big rigs over Loveland Pass. Forecast, light snow showers will taper off this morning and early afternoon. Could even see some sun late in the day. It's pretty murky out there right now. High is going to be in the low to mid-30s right now, 30 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Right now at Freeway Ford, get a brand-new Focus or Ranger for just $12,900. Two great vehicles, one incredible price. After rebates, drive home an 010 Focus or Ranger for just $12,900. Only at Todd Helton's Ford team. Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access these may apply.
Want to add value to your home, lower your energy bills, and preserve the environment? Best Way Insulation is a Colorado-owned company that uses blown-in insulation to reduce your energy usage. Best Way Insulation was trusted with re-insulating the governor's mansion and will provide the same great service to AM 760 listeners. Ask the experts at Best Way Insulation about federal tax credits and energy company rebates available to customers in Colorado. Go to bestwayinsulation.com to go green and save green. That's bestwayinsulation.com.
How would you like to improve your memory in just 10 minutes? That's right. You can start improving your memory when you call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply of Neurostin. 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines are open now. Neurostin is a scientific breakthrough with clinically proven ingredients that can dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration, and help reverse years of memory loss. Call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply. If you want your brain back, if you want to remember telephone numbers, people's names, and where you put your keys and glasses, Neurostin's all-natural ingredients can help dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration. See for yourself. Try it risk-free now. Start improving your memory now. Call in the next 10 minutes to try all-natural Neurostin before you buy it. Supplies are limited, so get your free trial now at 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines will be open for the next 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-600-8199.
Senator Michael Bennett is facing a tough choice. There's pressure in Washington to give up the fight to solve global warming. Lobbyists are whispering that it's too hard, that Congress should pass the kind of energy bill we had under George Bush, one that doesn't put a cap on global warming pollution. But this may be the last chance in a generation to solve the climate crisis. We have, for now, enough pro-environment senators of both parties to pass a real limit on global warming pollution. We only need the will to get it done. Scientists tell us we must act now. Senator Bennett, oppose a George Bush-style energy bill. Fight for a real limit on global warming pollution. Fight for a better future for our children and grandchildren. Sponsored by Environmental Defense Action Fund.
News of the Weird at 9:55 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Maya tomb could help explain the Mayans' collapse. This is a headline out of Mexico. Mexican archaeologists have found an 1,100-year-old tomb from the twilight of the Mayan civilization that they hope may shed light on what happened to the once glorious culture. It sort of disappeared off the face of the earth, and nobody really has any idea why. Maybe we'll get some clues now. AP headline from Tennessee. Boulder crashes through house, barely misses woman. Emergency officials say a boulder about the size of a compact car crashed into an apartment in eastern Tennessee, barely missing a woman sleeping in her bedroom. Sounds like a Fred Flintstone situation. You know, just boulders rolling into houses. Crazy. Speaking of Oregon, this is out of Portland, Oregon. An overdone bagel forced the evacuation of Portland's City Hall. The Oregonian newspaper reported that City Hall emptied for about 20 minutes while firefighters dealt with the burning bagel in the break room of Mayor Sam Adams' office. That's pretty kind of cool that their mayor's name is Sam Adams.
You think he drinks?
If he's from Portland, my guess is he drinks beer.
Yeah.
Probably.
Portland's a good beer town.
It is, man. I think they have the second most breweries after us.
It's a good beer town. This is from Peru. Peruvian doctors amputate wrong leg, then right one. Peruvian doctors amputated the healthy leg of an 86-year-old man, then amputated the other leg when they realized their mistake. That's awful. I was shocked when I lifted the sheets and saw they had taken his left leg, said the man's daughter. The ulcer was on his right leg. Public Policy Polling Institute, guess what? Americans do not trust the major TV news operations in the country except for Fox News. Their newest survey looking at perceptions of ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox, and NBC finds Fox is the only one that more people say they trust than distrust. We do truly live in the idiocracy. And finally, last news of the weird story, midlife crisis. Could it be an outdated myth? The stereotype that many middle-aged people get depressed and must perk up their lives may be a myth, say scientists now. In fact, these days, many people often feel more fulfilled in their middle and later years, says new data from Israel's Tel Aviv University. We'll go to the phones now, 303-713-7600. We'll go to Denny in Boulder County. Hey, Denny, how you doing?
Doing well. It's 14 degrees in south Boulder County.
14? That's pretty
That's
cool.
On the shady side of the garage,
yeah.
But it's so soupy up here that the sun's not breaking through yet.
Yeah.
David, thank you for being a voice for a progressive. I did not listen to or watch the State of the Union last night. I am so frustrated with Democrats in general and Mr. Obama in particular. As a progressive, I thought I would hear nothing nothing promising other than, empty promises. Did he offer anything?
Yeah, I mean, and I said this before. I mean, look, I thought the speech was very cynical. I thought it was cynical that in the sense that he, I thought, diagnosed the problems properly, and then he offered up, for the most part, solutions that he knows aren't serious solutions. Cutting non-defense discretionary spending is not a serious solution for the national deficit. It's a joke. It's cynical. It confirms right-wing, Reaganist, dishonest stereotypes. There was a couple things that I thought were pretty good. And I said this. I've said this all morning. I know people want either you're cheering him on completely or you're bashing him completely. I'm not either. I'm just telling it like it is. And, well, you know, the issue of the bank tax, right, and getting rid of taxes that or tax breaks that incentivize offshoring of jobs, these were good things. Whether he follows through, we will see. And we'll discuss it tomorrow.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the one and only Mario Solis Marriage Show, Secretary of Education Arne Duncan will be with us. We'll take your calls y mucho más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM 760.